Hey, Lights, Camera, Barstool listeners, you can find us every Tuesday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Hey guys, it's Big Cat and Fight Week is here. Rough and Rowdy 24 invades Clarksburg, West Virginia this Friday night, April 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern for the first time since Rough and Rowdy 1. Every single fight will be a brand new brawler, and we found the wildest hillbillies the Holler has to offer. Order now to enjoy 20 amateur matchups with no headgear, plus our live ring girl contest after the final bell. These country roads are being paved with blood and grit and balls. Join me and Dave on the call for Rough and Rowdy 24 tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. Witness all the chaos with pay-per-view replay available all weekend long on buyrnr.com. That's buyrnr.com.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
What killed the dinosaurs? The Ice Age!
You want a cup of joe with you?
I'm gonna make you famous, Lizzie.
It's not Al anymore. It's Dunk.
Dunkachino?
Don't mind if I do.
Welcome to Light Camera Barstool, episode 48 of season 2. Jeff Lowe, Ken Jack, Chris out today alongside Gooch. What's going on, everybody? Couple things today. Day Shift movie on Netflix. We interviewed the director last week, J.J. Perry. Stuntman extraordinaire, features Jamie Foxx, Snoop Dogg, Dave Franco. We'll be reviewing that. Also an interview with two people from the same movie. We have Theo Rossi on, and we have Aubrey Plaza.
Both great interviews.
Aubrey Plaza, we tried our best to keep up with her wits
She's
and ways.
Smarter than us.
Yeah, way too smart for our own good.
She 100% did the Aubrey Plaza thing to you guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she did. No, we did it. She,
but it was like good.
She backed off a little halfway through. She's like, all right. She goes, hey, I'm smarter than these two lads. It was fun. And then Theo Rossi, we had a good time as well. Mm-hmm. So those two interviews, and obviously some news. But first, score this episode of Lights, Camera, Barstool brought to you by Game Time. Ticketing app makes things easier than ever to score last-minute deals on tickets, sports, concert shows, much more. Guarantee the lowest prices. They cracked the code on how to score deals on last-minute tickets. MLB tickets for under $15 on Game Time. Yankees tickets, low as 14. Red Sox, 14. Mets, third. What a steal for the Mets. $13 mm-hmm. for Mets tickets? Most exciting team in baseball? Sorry if you're like a Dodgers fan. Sorry if you're a Dodgers fan. Like, I don't know. You're on like...
I'm going to the Yankees.
You're on like a near record pace of wins. You live in the West Coast, so you kind of get pushed down. Braves tickets for $14. Cubs for... You can probably go to an NFL preseason game for $1.
Yeah, I would imagine at this point.
You probably can. I've never been to a preseason game, and I hopefully never will have to go. I almost went to Browns-Panthers in 2003 because we were on a baseball trip, and they almost locked out. Mm. They almost had a fucking strike in the middle of our baseball trip, but they didn't do it, so we weren't forced to do that.
I kind of like the preseason games to go to because I don't like going to the NFL games during the regular season because I like to have like all the games visible during the NFL season. But like preseason, I don't give a shit about the other preseason games, so it's fun to just get drunk and go watch players that probably won't make the team.
I always go through the same process with preseason games where I'm like, I need football back. And then I'm like, finally, football. I get to watch preseason game.
And it's so bad. Just so miserable.
Ooh, and just don't care.
I'm out after like a first quarter.
And like the preseason has changed so much in like our lifetimes, too. It's like the Browns announced the other day. They're like, we're not playing basically anybody on Saturday or where the hell they're playing. Like, you're not going to see any starters. And it's nice to see rookies play, but like, yeah. I don't, like, whatever.
Yeah,
the Browns. The preseason changed for me when the Browns went 4-0 in the preseason, and then went 0-16 in the regular season. After that, what do you do from that point on? How serious can you take it?
It's also very different when your starting quarterback gets booed with "You're a pervert" chants like all day long in your first quarter.
Actually, I barely watch. I actually did watch, and then their starting center blew his knee in the second play. And I said, "I'm going to turn this off and go drink. I don't know. What am I doing here?" You can get those tickets, I'm sure, for $1. Maybe.
Although I will say, getting to watch with the Chargers one, watching like Chase Daniel throw like 3 touchdowns is like this year in 2022 is insane. Like that is just
fun. It's good for funny things.
Chunky boy. Yeah.
There could be a funny good thing here and there, but that ain't happening for me right now. I have not cared whatsoever about preseason football. Sports, concert. If you don't like sports, you want to go to concerts, do that. Game Time, fantastic. you can kind of sit anywhere too. You can find great deals. This is not just like go sit in the nosebleeds. You can sit and find great seats, cool venues, teams, shows you've never seen before. Game Time is the way to go. It's very quick and easy once you buy your tickets or deliver directly to you. Probably the easiest directly to you ticketing thing possible. No super printer simple. Needed. Well, some of these other sites, you got to go through all these back doors. And if you signed up on X website like 15 years ago in the high school.
Axios, now you got to re-sign through
this. Then you're like, I don't even have that email anymore. No, Game Time is fantastic with that. You can share via text, get into the game easily. Best part, $20 off your first purchase. Download the Game Time app, go to account tab to create a login, redeem code LCB for $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time, last minute tickets, lowest prices guaranteed. Football coming up, college, NFL, baseball playoffs. So take advantage of that code. $20 off can get you a long way getting tickets. That's Game Time. Thank you for being one of our fantastic sponsors here today. I had a fucking food related thing that I chuckled at. I saw this just seems very up our alley here on the show.
I know what you're gonna say.
That what is it?
I think I saw it too. Was it like a Cinnabon thing?
No, it's not. I don't like Cinnabon.
I don't like dessert themed fast food.
I saw someone was doing a combined movie marketing, but I can't remember what the movie was, and I can't remember what the restaurant was.
It's the Dairy Queen curse. Have you seen this?
No.
You guys seen about this? You guys hear about this? Every person that Dairy Queen has done a deal with in Major League Baseball season has had something morbid happen to them. Mm. Bryce Harper, broken thumb, been out since June. Tim Anderson, broken finger, out 6 weeks. White Sox probably donezo. Cody Bellinger.
Just playing bad.
Just stinks. Just not bad. Good. I also don't know if he's been bad ever since he like had that high five and like tore his shoulder in the World Series. But in my head canon, that is what happened. And then Fernando Tatis just suspended for PED. And then one of the worst excuses of all time. Hmm. One of like the
What did he say? He's like, I needed it for
ringworms. But then he referenced something else that wasn't even the drug. Like the name was different. Yeah. And then all his players and
his teammates GM were like, liar.
They're like, you grow up.
Yeah.
Grow the fuck up.
That's very funny. I went to Michael Jordan's steakhouse.
I did see that. Saturday. Was that a Mohegan Sun?
Mohegan Sun, which by the way, has got to be
I've been there.
They're not owned by Penn, right?
No.
They're awful. That is one of the worst casinos I've ever been to in my entire life. Absolute dog shit casino.
I've spent an unbelievable amount of time there.
Terrible casino.
Under the age of 21 because my mom was a buyer for like a golf shop in Connecticut, and they opened up another store in Mohegan Sun. So I would spend days there. Not as a 21-year-old, not a fun. Casinos are not fun.
Yeah. This one in general, even as a gambler, no fun at all. Terrible casino. But the Michael Jordan Steakhouse we went to, we had a party of like 11. And we didn't realize until we sat down, they're like, there's like a $1,500 minimum for your table. And like we didn't realize until we had already ordered everything. Like we all got like filet, we got a shit ton of sides and all this stuff. We weren't even, all of us got drinks too, not even close to the minimum. So we just had to order a bunch of food that we couldn't eat, leave it on the table and leave. Because we're like, we'd rather you be out of pocket for this material wise than us. But other than that, pretty good steak. Gotta say, MJ knows his cuts.
No, I've been to that Michael Jordan Steakhouse. It's solid.
It's pretty good.
And you can wash out with a Ben and Jerry's not too far away.
Pretty close to it, yeah.
Yeah.
What are y'all's thoughts on going to a steakhouse and not getting a steak? I almost every time don't get the steak.
I think it depends, right? Like if you're in like just truly not in the mood for red meat, there's nothing that I feel like in my brain could force me to eat it. Like I'd be like, I'll get it.
It's not that I don't like steak. I like steaks at home. I don't know what it is about going out to a restaurant and getting one. I don't know.
There's something about steakhouses too. Like they mostly make other shit really well too.
Yeah.
Like the steakhouse salad is usually awesome. Like, and if you got that, to me is a good alternative. If you're not in the mood for like a full ass steak, they put some sliced steak on top of like a salad.
I just get penne all over.
I had a friend
throw up the rest of the night.
I had a friend at a bachelorette party this weekend in Miami. Went to Poppy Steak in Miami where they do the beef case for $1,000. Have you seen this?
It's this
is viral. Look this up if you're listening. It's the beef case, and they don't just bring you out. Yeah, they don't just bring you the steak. They put on a fucking show. This is probably like a TikTok viral is my guess because it's like what you'd imagine people like. So they turn the lights off every time somebody gets it. And then they come out. They play the purge sound.
Who would that just did
which
this?
Which is never fun to hear.
Is it Bad Bunny that just did this, right?
Might have been. And then they come out and they dance. They play some sort of EDM song. And then they do a big reveal of a large steak in a case.
Is that like the steak that they gave you in a, or rather the suitcase from like Pulp Fiction, basically?
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. It looks like the suitcase from Pulp Fiction.
Bunch of men in white gloves. They do a couple reveals of the steak. It's $1,000 for the one steak. I think this is cooler than the Salt Bay thing, though. That's the Salt Bay restaurant, New Sarette.
That steak is $1,000?
Yeah, it's $1,000 steak.
Can you fuck it?
They say it's good. You could probably fuck it.
Can you resell it for more?
I don't... That's too much for me. Also, she said 12 people ordered it while they were there. So they turned the lights off 12 times and did that thing 12 times during your experience.
Jesus.
Which I guess if you're in Miami and you're one of those things, like you are in a mood and a vibe to do shit like that. Mm. But I feel like you're in the mood for like, all right, my own, a table next to me, maybe two more. Yeah. 12 times?
Yeah. That's gonna like really tire out that poor.
That's a full 30 minutes. That's a 30 minutes of steak reveals.
And that's really the adult version of like the when you tell someone, like one of the waitstaff, it's their kid's birthday or something, and they all come out and do the song and dance. And everyone's like, oh, that's so corny. Yeah. That's so low class. Like, look what you're doing, bro. Like, you're
hitting same exact thing.
These random Miami guys coming out and dancing for you with a big ass steak that you're spending 50 times the amount of money on.
I would never be able to do that.
One of the,
as a waiter,
one of the best chicken places I ever went to is down in Miami, Yardbird. So if you're in the South Florida area, definitely try
a lot of good food in Miami.
We do have a lot of South Beach listeners.
Yeah, of course. Dave, if you're listening. Oh, yeah.
But yeah, by the way, I just can't say enough about how bad Mohegan Sun was. As a kid. The layout of that place, it's so much worse than any casino I went to in Vegas, like labyrinth-wise. It's impossible.
Well, I don't know if this is still true. It may not be, because I know like in China and those regions, they've built just absolute mammoth casinos. I know Windstar is big in Oklahoma. But for a while, Foxwoods and Mohegan Sun were the largest casino real estate spaces in the world.
Makes sense.
Or like top five. So like it's huge.
Designed like a tunnel. Like you have to like walk the entire length of it to get anywhere you want. And like, you know what I almost disliked about it is that it was a no smoking casino. So like, you don't get the casino smell when you walk in. It really kind of bummed me out.
Well, you stayed at Aria, right? That's where you stayed in Vegas.
In Vegas, yeah.
That Aria is one of those. If you go to Aria,
amazed, yeah.
Plan on being at Aria for most of your time.
Yeah.
Because you got to walk through a fucking mall, basically. It is just. And I liked that casino, not a Penn casino. Fuck that place. But I used to like it. But it is. Such a long walk to leave. You're like, this is not worth it at any point.
I think my biggest advice from you and from other people that had been there was like, wear the comfiest shoes you own, because all you're going to be doing is walking. And man, that did help a lot. It saved
Vegas
a lot of
in general.
Blisters.
It's just Vegas is a tough place. It's you look at overhead shots of Vegas and you're like, oh, that's great.
It's so all simple.
You walk along the you don't. You got to go
bridge here, bridge
over
there,
bridge, down like, the stairs, over another bridge.
So complicated, unnecessarily. I hated that, the infrastructure of that city so much. But it is so much fun. It's just a great time to be there.
You get lost in it, and then you lose all your money.
Yeah, exactly.
Your dignity.
Move into the sewers.
Yeah, exactly. Move into the sewers, and then Donnie and Vibs come say hi to you.
Yeah.
It'd be kind of fun.
Never been.
This Mohegan, I can't get over how much I hated it. Not just because I lost all my money. I didn't win a single thing, which is like statistically impossible. I spent like $500 there. Didn't win a single anything, which like it shouldn't have happened.
Yeah, that's...
It's almost impossible. And like that definitely contributed to my hatred of it. But like I think the layout more than anything made it worse, because like if you lose track of your party in there, you're never finding them. And like everything looks exactly the same. So there's no landmarks to like point out anything.
Also, it's always awkward to break taking your phone out in a casino because you feel like you're about to get absolutely fucking decked by
just
somebody.
By pit boss is going to come out.
Yeah, really? Going to come out. I had a friend who his buddy went on. It was on a bachelor party, got kicked out of the Wynn in Vegas. I won't say why. You could probably take some leaps. Got kicked out of the line going into the nightclub, XS, and said he was banned. And he's like, "What are they going to do?" I'm like, "Well, I was with them. I didn't go back with them." I said, "Well, they'll probably catch you within 30 seconds of walking in, if I'm being honest with you." He goes, "Like what?" I'm like, "Probably the cameras. Like your face will be recognized." 15 seconds door to floor, he had somebody on his back saying, "Excuse me, sir." He said, "Just come with us." And I take him to the back room. End up being cleared. They like let him go. Wow. And they took him off the ban list.
What a story.
He was like, "I can't believe." He goes, "I couldn't believe how quick they got to me." I was like, I'm not surprised by that. What could not be
was
less
that
surprised
a club?
By that?
It wasn't at the casino?
No, it was casino floor. Oh, but he got kicked out. But you wait in line for excess
to get
in the
floor,
casino.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know. Of all things to be shocked that places have like big security and can recognize you, casino seems.
Like
didn't he ever watch
multiple movies on this?
Yeah, like, or watch Las Vegas? Like, they had a CIA guy running the security for that hotel in Las Vegas.
Yeah, I don't know. Like that's a place that I would not fuck with anything.
Yeah.
You just kind of, if they tell you to do something, you just kind of do it.
I treat pit bosses like they're cops. Like, I'm so afraid of them when they come over and they're like, if you just took a peek at your phone to see where everyone else is, and they just come over and they're like, but sir, no phones. I'm just like,
my favorite.
Don't shoot.
I had a guy playing craps. He was not hitting the back wall, which is just,
oh, no.
You're not supposed to do that, but they'll be nice about it, whatever. But he was not just not hitting the back wall. He was hitting numbers left and right for everybody, and the dice were just not hitting the back wall. Mm. And finally, they kicked him off. Like, you got to go.
Jesus.
You got to fucking go. Hit the fucking back wall. And I like, hit the back wall. Yeah, hit the fucking back wall of the craps table. Craps is the most fun game in a casino.
It is. Many times. By the way, didn't win anything on craps either, which is also impossible because you're not even the one controlling the luck there.
Oh. Yeah, that's. I love. There's nothing like a good camaraderie of craps.
Yeah, exactly. That was a hard game to learn at first, but once you get a hold of it, like, it's so
also
simple.
A tough game too, where you could be winning people thousands and you're winning yourself nothing.
Zilch.
Just you're winning yourself, and then like an old guy will like toss you one shekel for like winning him like $10,000.
Oh, that happened to me when I was
here's a $25 chip, sir. Thank you.
This fucking old ass dude, like, and you know when you could tell someone's a casino regular just by looking at them?
Oh yeah,
like,
this guy was on there. I forget what I rolled, but I won him like 7-8 grand or something, and he's just like, oh, thanks. And I'm like, are you going to throw me the extra shekel for it? And nothing. Didn't care. I won me nothing on that roll.
That's why I don't. People lose. I had a friend who lost money playing like online craps. I'm like, what's the fun in that?
No fun there.
That's, if you're not clapping it up with the homies, why would you want to play craps? That's not fun at all.
That's a good thing. If you get a big party on your craps table, and because then like you're happier because whenever you're winning, at least you're winning money for your friends versus a random complete stranger. Which, like, there's some gratification to that, but still.
In the inverse, there's nothing sadder than walking through a late-night casino and seeing the guy playing the craps table by himself.
Yeah.
He's just rolling for himself. Nobody else.
That's a tough.
No
scene.
Cheering.
Won't lie, that sounds like my dad.
No high fives.
Big craps guy.
I also love gambling as a employee at a gambling company.
Yeah,
I
you're
a
horse racing
love
guy.
It. I love it.
Right?
Yeah. And I definitely study the book and know exactly what I'm going to bet on. Definitely don't just pick a horse.
The pony rooms are really fun in casinos.
Oh yeah, that's there's nothing more degenerate.
You get the guys like smacking their ass with the sheet.
You go to Red Mile in Lexington like December on a Tuesday, and they're just betting on like horses in Japan.
Yep.
Like
actually, I genuinely love that.
It's a tough scene.
I love watching like the OBTs and stuff. At least back on Long Island, right? It's OBT, right? Yeah, I'm not crazy. Off track betting.
Off track betting.
OTB.
Get you that one friend that only talks about the Triple Crown races and knows all the horses.
Yeah, I mean.
Everyone needs one.
It's entertaining.
It's been gambling talk. Movie news. Not a ton. Actually, I don't see it on here. We're going to talk about this one. We're going to talk about The Rock at the end here. Mm. We got to talk about what the Rock is doing with Black Adam, because I'm starting to hate this movie.
I feel like I'm almost already there.
Yeah, like I think I hate it. Tom Cruise and Christopher McQuarrie have a few projects in the works, folks. A musical, a space movie. Which we knew about.
Doug Liman one. Yeah, that one was in the works for a while.
The one where Tom Cruise is going to space. The musical, and then a project around Cruise's Les Grossman character from Tropic Thunder, which that's been in the hopper for years.
They've talked about it for
like
a long time.
10 years now.
Yeah, they've talked about doing a Les Grossman. I mean, I'm all for it. At this point, you just kind of have to trust Tom Cruise.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you just have to trust that he's going to pick a project and do something that is big, that makes money, that is for the theaters, that is for moviegoers. This all sounds great. And same with McQuarrie. McQuarrie hasn't reinvented action, but he has been kind of the go-to action person because of the most two recent Mission Impossible movies and the way people trust him off that. So I'm all for this.
I was about to say, what's the last bad movie Tom Cruise made? And immediately just see The Mummy. Like, it's right there, right in my face.
That was like what, 2017?
Other than that, like, he doesn't really make bad choices. Like, American Made I thought was awesome. Jack Reacher movies, which like, are people, the book lovers hate it, but they're solid movies. The other Mission Impossible, Edge of Tomorrow, Oblivion, which I think is underappreciated. And then we get to Rock of Ages. But
Rock of Ages was a tough one.
Yeah,
I talked about Rock of Ages recently. It was cool in the trailer when you saw Tom Cruise the first time. He signed some girl's boobs.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened.
And now he's going back to doing another musical with McHugh.
Man, he really has only done two movies since The Mummy. That's kind of shocking. But it doesn't really matter because the size and scope of Mission Impossible Fallout, Top Gun Maverick, and then what we know about Dead Reckoning. Like,
such a cool name, too.
He's not, again, and I'm not going to say he's reinvented himself, but there's been a different, like, vibe around Tom Cruise since that Mission Impossible Fallout release.
People are calling him the last remaining movie star in Hollywood, which I don't agree with, but I think his social capital has never been higher.
The Mummy was such an egregious disaster that nobody should walk out of that unscathed like he did.
R.I.P. Yeah. The Dark Universe.
Yeah. So he, again, there's just two movies since American Made, which, yeah, I kind of enjoyed American Made as well.
It's not, yeah, solid movie.
Great. Mission Impossible, Fallout, and Top Gun Maverick. I mean, Fallout was what it was. We think it's one of the best action movies ever made.
And then Maverick is right up there, too.
And then Maverick is close to surpassing Infinity War for domestic box office gross.
Which is
total.
Insane.
And he was a producer on all of these, by the way. Except for American. Like, all the ones he wasn't producer on weren't that great. Like, Mummy, he wasn't. American Made.
Yeah, that is really true. Like, if he's producing.
Ghost Protocol producer.
Typically solid.
Jack Reacher producer.
Did he, producer. What about Night and Day? Was he a producer?
Night and Day, not a producer. No.
Vanilla Sky.
That's surprising.
Producer.
Yeah, he should have been a producer on Valkyrie. That's a damn shame.
I bet he wanted the Collateral producing credit.
Yeah, big time. Oh, fuck.
Collateral is the number one cable movie of all time now.
Is it really?
No, but believable, right?
Yeah.
He was a producer on Elizabethtown? What the fuck?
I guess so, yeah. That's wild.
He lived in Louisville for like 2 years, I'm pretty sure.
Really?
Yeah.
Why the fuck?
He
was
moved
he
around really? A shit ton when he was a kid. But yeah, that's a terrible credit to have underneath your producing credit.
It's just, again, I just trust him. Yeah. You just trust him at this point. He's gonna make the right moves. He's gonna make a big deal about it. He cares about every movie that comes out. Whether that's like do you believe that he sees every movie in theaters?
It's 100%. Like, where every single rock lie, we don't believe any of it. I'd believe
that's 100%. What I was saying. That's what I'm comparing. Yeah. I said, do you believe it, or do you think that's the Rock cheat day stuff?
I believe it with Tom Cruise. I've never believed it once with the Rock, but like, it's one of those things where like you lean into it. But with Cruise, I genuinely do believe he watches.
What's the last? Well, you talk about the Rock thing next. We'll just do that next. What's the last cheat day thing the Rock did? So the Rock. Is it the peanut butter pancakes? This well-earned Sunday morning cheat meal couldn't come quick enough. Pineapple coconut pancakes, blueberry jam, peanut butter, maple syrup. Insanely delicious. Don't cheat yourself. Treat yourself. You've earned your cheat meal, so do so.
This is like, as far as just pure mass, this is probably the smallest cheat meal he's ever posted. But like, the calorie count on this is just vile. Why does it look like there's like Chipotle?
He had In-N-Out for the first time on August 1st.
That can't be.
Yeah. My first time ever eating In-N-Out. A solid start with a bite of good. First of all,
he's lived in California for 20 years.
I hate to break this. There's no way. I defend In-N-Out, and I defend that I enjoy their fries when I get them fresh and I get them hot right on the spot. He's eating these at his home. These fries suck.
Yeah.
In-N-Out fries.
In-N-Out fries don't transport well at all. You got to eat them right when you got to almost eat them before you eat your burger.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy them for what they are. You need to douse them in ketchup. Who really cares? Like, I don't think they're as heinous as people want to say. He had two burgers. For his cheat meal.
Why does his peanut butter on this?
Yeah, what has he done to these pancakes?
I know.
It looks like Chipotle mayo. What the fuck is that?
I have tried them. It was a big deal. The cheat day shit was really popping when I was at GMA, so we talked about it a bunch in the show, like during the second hour when they stopped talking about news. I've tried the peanut butter pancake thing he does. They're pretty good.
But what is wrong with the peanut butter? Why is it so not peanut buttery looking? It's like more orange.
It's not congealed's not the right word, but it does almost look congealed.
It looks fucking weird.
What is this cheat day? This cheat day is a. This is not a cheat day meal. A dozen eggs, turkey bacon, homemade biscuits. That's just a large breakfast.
He's basically describing like his grocery list. It's like not even really.
He's pared down the cheat day since they became a thing.
Yeah.
Like, it used to be significantly crazier. It used to be like 40 cookies.
Because everyone knew he was fucking lying.
Yes.
Everyone knew he was a big ass liar.
He should start posting his post cheat day shits.
Yeah, I'd rather that.
Imagine if he leaned into it. Like, he has to promote Black Adam as just this he said, so we're going to talk about the Black Adam thing now, but he basically teased Black Adam as this nasty, villainous, like, mean, fucked up thing. He should be posting his post cheat day shits now.
Yeah.
Lean into it.
I would love that, because you know those things go crazy because of all the protein and Zoa he drinks. Like, there's some and nasty
like,
shits.
You know, like, he just, for the most part, only eats like clean, like very digestible stuff, and then he switches it up, goes to In-N-Out, like fast food. I'm sure fast food one time fucking wrecks him.
He paints the porcelain.
Oh, here's one. What do we got? It's about 8 English muffins, steak, an omelet, avocado, and a giant bowl of oatmeal, and a Zoa.
If I will say, I like The Rock. If for some reason we ever have the chance to interview The Rock, great.
Absolutely.
I promise you. You have my word. I won't tell him he lies about cheat meals. I don't have the balls to do that. But I will tell him that he should not count 12 eggs and turkey bacon as a cheat meal. Mm-hmm. That should not count.
That should not count. It's way too healthy to be a cheat meal.
Did you see his – he was doing an interview with I think it was Kevin Hart, of course, but they like asked him if you could be any celebrity's pet, who would you be? And he said he'd be Meg the Stallion's dog.
Like Frankie Muniz?
And then he was like, yeah, no further comment. I'd be a dog.
Jesus.
Just all-time horny comment.
He's a fascinating dude. Him and it was him and Frankie Muniz said that, right? He's like, I want Lizzo to walk me around like a dog or something.
Yeah.
He's like, I wanted her to put me in her purse and walk around with me.
I almost don't think sushi should count as a cheat meal either.
Even unlimited sushi
I treat sushi like a healthy meal.
Yeah, me too.
Because I don't know why. It's but probably see, like, not
so,
healthy.
So this sushi, this is the...
Look at the same one, yeah.
He's got like five cookies next to him.
Yeah, but that's weird. I don't like that. Sushi and cookies in the same bite.
Do
like,
you think he's always drinking the Teremana too? Or you think he pours it down the drain right after he pours it?
The last one, that first cheat meal we talked about, he's like, it's POV. So he cuts into it and then he brings the scoop back. And I didn't hear the sound, but I imagine he went like, gulp, and like pretended he ate it. So yum. Good. Delicious. He's such a liar. It's incredible.
So he made a comment this weekend that has DC fans actually, it sounds like, it has comic book fans in a tizzy. He apparently talked about fighting, and I'll read his tweet because I want to read his words. Let me get the tweet up because he tweeted about it yesterday after it kind of went crazy. I actually credit him for even replying about it. There's a report from IndieWire. I don't know if it was from them, but they had the tweet that he quote tweeted. It said, Dwayne Johnson fought to keep Black Adam out of Shazam to avoid a disservice to the character. And then he said, 100% true. Original script had both Black Adam and Shazam establishing their origin stories in one film. I fought hard for both characters to have their own standalone films for the fans to enjoy and protect Black Adam's ruthless and extremely violent tone as we build out the DCEU. Which, buddy... The DCEU, like let's just focus on the one film right now.
DC has exclusively said DCEU does not exist. Like that was their words. They said that's not real.
Some of the quote tweets, someone said, Son has no idea how comic books work, LMAO. This man is a joke. SMH Shazam is Adam's arch enemy. This guy is doing everything he can to make sure all the spotlight is on him. Someone said, what exactly does this mean? Black Adam is his villain. Don't get it twisted. People were pretty irritated.
Mm-hmm.
Bro, what the hell? What's his face? Rob Liefeld had a tweet, who I know some people don't like. I will note that. Some people really do not like him and think he...
Some people think he stole characters.
Yes, yeah. People think he stole characters. But he said... But I will say, whether he stole characters or not, he's read comics for years.
And he's one of the founders of Image Comics, which was huge for the comic book industry.
Right, yeah.
So, got to give him credit for that.
He said... Where is it? He said, I should have these pulled up. This is my fault. Man, he had a lot of tweets on the subject this weekend.
I'm reading the DC Cinematic Reddit.
Been reading
right
comics
now.
For 48 years. Black Adam had no significant presence or stature in DC's history prior to The Rock turning his gaze on him. Not a criticism, a simple fact. Some took issue with that. Some people say he was a massive presence in certain things, and Liefeld went back and forth. But point being, people did not like this comment. They're like... All right, like at this point, you're sort of propping up this character, which like I'm glad he loves the character to Patrick Rock. That's very cool. But people did not like that he made sure to remove this character from Shazam, and they won't meet for a while unless there's a post credit scene, which I could see happening.
Mm-hmm. I kind of dig that, honestly. I would rather these characters like that's the big problem we've talked about with DC forever is that they jump into things too quickly and don't let shit have like time to establish. So like letting him deal with what I don't even remember what the Mark Strong villain was in Shazam. Like I couldn't tell you in a million years what the character was, but like
something with the seven deadly sins.
Yeah, so like let them do their bullshit and let like the actual like I would say battle like the Superman versus Batman sort of or movie whatever their version of it is be Black Adam versus Shazam, and I think that would be better. I think both
Black
both
Adam versus Superman in terms of anime movies is actually really good.
Do that, do.
It's actually like three. A good matchup, like because Superman like his weakness is magic.
Yeah, see, even the people so who like well. Defended Black Adam and they know more about it than me. They were like he was in this comic line and this run. Like he's bigger than you're saying he is. Somebody did tweet Rob Liefeld this one thing, and this is just a bad tweet. Said Black Adam is like DC's Doctor Doom. Got his own nation and everything.
No.
He just is like, all right, let's talk about the fucking Dr. Doom. Is even if you think Black Adam is bigger than people are saying, it's not Dr. Doom.
No.
Yeah. That's kind of crazy.
Lex Luthor is Dr. Doom.
Yeah.
Right. Like, you could say, like, yeah, exactly. That's completely fair and accurate. I mean, I don't know if the comparison is 1v1 accurate, but in terms of like stature, what people know.
I think
crazy.
I think this is actually going to be like a better thing. I think The Rock's influence here may actually be positive.
Is this
like some shit time to breathe?
I'm already sick of this movie, which means I'm probably going to love it.
They keep saying it's going to be like violently brutal and stuff like that, which whenever a movie starts saying stuff like that, you know, I like just get like, it's like Spencer Gifts vibes. I don't know.
I can't explain it.
Like, it's just like, I don't like this marketing at all.
You can't say it like that because, like, when you say that, you expect it to be like, you know, really gory, violent, that sort of stuff. Like, it's going to be like the guy says, like, hell or something.
The first teaser they ever showed actually seemed that way.
Yeah.
When he, like, vaporized all those people.
Yeah.
Like, and then I don't think they've used that footage at all.
No, it's all been the corny stuff. It's been that guy trying to hit him in the head.
Did they just take that out?
Yeah, they switched it to being more focused on that other shit, like the hitting him in the head with the baton and then he throws him. Which, by the way, that's the most cheap way of killing someone in a movie with a superhero. Like, just a toss.
Oh, yeah.
Hated that. And I still can't help but laugh every time I see that one image of him flying.
Oh yeah. It just looks so awkward.
The most angry flyer of all time. It was so funny.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, again, the more I hate this movie, the more I'm probably going to end up liking it because that's just the irony in that. But I'm just kind of,
you know, be really funny.
I'm just tired of it. We heard about this for so long. It's one of those things like, all right, just fucking, again, we talked about this. It's the Avatar thing. Avatar got to this point as well, Avatar 2, but then it surpassed it where now I'm interested. Black Adam is now in the middle of that area where I don't care.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, I'm just annoyed. Just release the fucking movie.
You know what would be really funny if Black Adam flew horizontally? Like, he flew like this.
Like sideways.
Like, just straight up facing the wind he's directing. Like,
oh, that would be funny.
Flying like this. That would have been really goddamn funny.
The least aerodynamic way to do it.
The absolute least, but he's just flying so fast, and like his face is like doing that whole like G-force thing. It would be really funny.
Damn it. There's no chance this gets delayed again, right? Like, this is coming out.
I would never say never.
Yeah. With Warner, that's right, with Warner Discovery, you don't know.
It's very different. No one knows what the fuck they're doing.
They said they liked that movie, though.
Yeah,
David Zaslav, evil Dr. Zaslav, said he likes that movie.
He's like a literal supervillain.
Can he say he doesn't, though, like, to The Rock?
Mm.
I think so. I don't know.
Rock is the number one movie star in the world, like, just by pure gross, like...
Yeah, but I don't think he's got the swing to bring down Warner Brothers.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't really get it. There's so much shit with DC.
I don't know how to say his name. It's the director. It's...
Black Adam?
Is it Jamie Coletzer? Is that how you pronounce it? He also, I'm not going to say, has the greatest run of movies to his directorial name.
I'm just
excited for Dr. Fate at this point. Dr. Fate, Pierce Brosnan looks awesome.
He's like I imagine that this guy is like any one of those like...
His name is Wame Coletzer.
Is that what it is? He's done the three... like transportation movies with Liam Neeson, Nonstop, Run All Night, and The Commuter.
I imagine he's like that guy, like, who is the LeBron coach where, like, he's just a vessel for LeBron's commands. Like, he's one of those type of guys where it's like, The Rock is the director of this movie. Like, have no doubts about that. This guy's just kind of executing whatever The Rock wants.
Hey, Rock, what you want here, buddy?
Exactly.
That's basically what it comes down to. So we'll see. I don't know at this point, but that got people very mad.
Oh, he directed House of Wax. My uncle had a song that was in there. That's kind of cool.
Oh, interesting. There you go. Then after that, he did all the Liam Neeson movies.
Yeah.
First trailer for Triangle of Sadness, starring Woody Harrelson and Harris Dickinson, comes out October 7th. Thoughts?
Looks good. Looks like a neon movie.
It does look like a neon movie.
That director has got a great track record.
Yeah, a fashion model celebrity couple, Carl and Yaya, are invited to a luxury cruise for the uber rich, run by a Marxist captain, only for things to go wrong. Ruben Östlund, he's done...
Good ass director.
Force Majeure,
right? Yes.
The original, not the shit American
not,
movie.
Not the one that
not
was
the
turned
Julia
into
Louis Dreyfus.
A really bad Julie Dreyfus Will Ferrell movie. Yes. Also did The Square.
Mm-hmm. Good movie.
Another foreign movie people should check out. But yes, this is Triangle of Sadness. It does look like it very much like a neon movie. It also has 20 production companies attached to it. It's the longest production company list I've ever seen. And I've manually input how many movies into our website? 5,000. I've never seen a production list that long.
That's what insane. The hell? Holy
That's
shit.
Unbelievable. Imperative Entertainment. Film IVAST, some of these are in different languages. BBC Film, 30 West, Platform Production, Essential Films, Co-Production Office, Sverges Television, ZDF, Arte France, seen that. TRT Cinema, Svenska Film Institute. It's one of my favorites, by
the way. That's a great one.
That's a that's a favorite of mine. I see that Swedish one. Your Images, Council of Europe. Median Board Berlin, Brandenburg, the Danish Film Institute, see that a bunch.
That makes sense.
Moen Film, Film Fund, Hamburg, Schleswig Holstein, BFI, Nordisk Film and TV Fund, see that a ton. Art France, DR, Canal Plus, see that a bunch.
Do you think if we edit it?
Heretic.
Right now?
Yeah, we could add one in here.
Board Cadre Films, Sovereign Films, and Piano.
What do we add into the production company list?
Could you imagine the meetings for that movie?
Buddy Brazzers. Buddy Pal. Oh, yeah.
Brazzers into the producer list. Unbelievable. Let's just do it. I'm going to do it right now.
Has solid reviews on Rotten Tomatoes. So, yeah, there we it did receive an 8-minute standing ovation, too, and won the Palme d'Or, yeah.
Oh, it won?
Yeah. 8-minute standing. Oh, that sounds lame.
That sounds kind of short,
sound very
actually.
Good. Yeah, 8-minute standing. Oh, sounds like you get a weak crop of movies this year. Not very impressive. A24 developing a two-part feature documentary about the life and career of Steve Martin for Apple TV Plus.
Yeah, that one looks awesome.
That
yeah,
sounds great.
I love this.
That's going to have some great stuff in there. You know that's going to be one. That just sounds like one of those things that is going to be beloved.
I just added Brazzers to the production list. So I should just realize I fucked up. I made it fourth in the listing. So someone's probably going to notice it. But
I don't think they'll notice.
We'll see. But yeah, this looks awesome. We were talking about this last week, right? Steve Martin, sneakily one of the most influential comedians like ever. And people like people around our age know him more, but I feel like they think of him as like the cheaper by the dozen dude or whatever.
Yeah.
And like the loan from classics like Trains, Planes, Automobiles. But like he went before he was doing movies, was selling out theaters everywhere doing his stand-up routines, like literally making TV appearances all over the place, selling out like everywhere. Like he was a monster in comedy before he started doing stuff like The Jerk and all the rest of those movies. So, and also just a really wholesome dude. Like you ever go to his Twitter and he's just playing banjo, hanging out.
Wildly talented. Just wildly talented.
Talented dude. And just funny. Like you watch him in Only Murders in the Building even. Like he still crushes it and has great comedic timing.
As far as old like white dudes go, like probably the least problematic of them all.
Yeah.
Like,
from that
well,
era for
just
sure.
Wait, because you know what's going to happen because it happened on Twitter a couple months ago.
What'd
you
they
know.
Do?
Oh, it's his birthday today too. How about that?
I should post something.
Is How it old really? Is
he? Now, yesterday.
80? Okay.
You know, people are going to try to cancel him over the King Tut's skit again from SNL. Yeah. That, that went around and people were like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Like, watch the whole skit. Genius skit, by the way.
Was a very good one.
Like, unbelievable. Yeah, that'll be, you're right. That'll be one of those ones where, and obviously Only Murders in the Building has put him into more
show.
Of a,
yeah.
I need to watch, I haven't watched it. I did watch the first season. It's fantastic. But. He's in the cultural zeitgeist now, but you're right. It's one of those things people I think are going to go back and like realize like what and who he is, or maybe younger and haven't really experienced like the full.
A lot of Gen Z don't they're not very familiar with him because you got to remember Cheaper by the Dozen, like his last big. I say that's his last big commercial movie, right?
Yeah, I would say like
was like 20 years ago.
Count the Pink Panther.
Or
yeah, so most of those kids know him from like Pink Panther, which is like fun kids movie, but like by the time they got to the second one with Beyonce, it was really bad.
That
oh my god! Also, is it always at what point?
Man, Beyonce, early 2000s, she was just a franchise killer. Austin Powers and Pink Panther.
I would say maybe his best movie. I was gonna say is Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, but no, it's probably Planes, Trains.
Yeah, I think Planes, Trains.
I love Little Shop and The Jerk is fantastic.
The Cans, he hates the Cans.
The Jerk is so good.
Cheaper by the Dozen too. I forgot about
that. At what age did you realize the Pink Panther was
bad?
The diamond and not the like the not the like the Pink Panther itself?
Like when I watched the movie, because I never paid attention to the cartoon ever. Like I never watched it, so I had no clue.
I always thought like the actual, like growing up, I thought the Pink Panther was the fucking panther.
Yeah, the actual panther.
Like I assumed it was like Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Mm-hmm.
Like where like the Pink Panther would show up and be a part of all the hijinks. Yeah. I didn't know it was.
Man, you were dumb.
I mean, I was like six. Because I also knew the Pink Panther. I recognized the Pink Panther from a lot too. Was Insulation in a House.
Oh yeah, the big pink things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Right.
Good call. Yeah, you're right about that.
That motherfucker is helping you keep your home.
Mm-hmm.
What is it,
hot.
Safe, warm,
hot and warm and the cold. I guess.
Like that's growing up. Like the Pink Panther to me was like, oh, He's on the boards for insulation in your home.
Mm-hmm.
Point being, movie sucked ass. All both of them did. Three of them or just one?
It's a good question.
The Pink Panther, the Pink Panther 2.
There was really definitely a second one. Yeah, the second one was the
also,
one.
Also, I got to say, not a mixed nuts guy.
Yeah.
Not one of my favorite Christmas movies. Not a big fan of mixed nuts. People forget he was also in the animated movie Home with Rihanna.
He had an episode of 30 Rock? I didn't remember.
I'm looking through his like where you guys' scores are. I wish you guys were higher on Father of the Bride. I love that movie. I watched that movie so many times growing up.
It is very, I would say, not guilty pleasure. That's the wrong word for this.
Growing up with a sister, she loved that movie.
I enjoy Father of the Bride. Didn't they just come out with a new one?
Yes.
Yeah, with
it wasn't that good. It was Andy Garcia.
Yeah, Andy Garcia.
Right.
On HBO Max.
Right. Did I watch this?
If it come out 3 weeks or 3 weeks later, it probably would have not come out. Maybe Zaslav probably would have.
I think I watched this.
I think I saw it.
No, I watched. I definitely saw it. I absolutely am not lying on this. I watched Father Stew. So I was looking at. I was looking at the sheet earlier to looking at like where I'm going to place movie reviewing today. And like, I think I did rate. I watched Father Stew.
You know what movie you guys are missing in here? Actually,
Father Stew sucks.
Bringing down the house.
Bringing down the house.
Really?
Yeah.
That's not on the list. Or it's just not listed in. To his when you search his name.
Oh, it's not. That's surprising. What?
That's a funny movie.
Bringing
probably,
down the
probably
house?
A little problematic if I had to go back and rewatch it, but I remember it being funny.
I don't remember being that funny.
I was like 6 years old.
Oh, Three Amigos I've watched like 500 times.
All the movies we've reviewed on this show that we've gone back and watched that I have not found as funny, Waiting is going to be up there for me.
Mm. Waiting was... I watched that one night with like my ex-girlfriend's family.
Because
I was like, I remember that being funny. And it was just...
Different type of funny.
Oh, different type of funny.
Not funny to me.
Pretty sure Ryan Reynolds calls someone like the F slur and the R slur.
Yeah, not even because of like the not timing. I mean, it came out in 2005. Yeah. Like,
no, that part of it isn't that crazy. But it's just like you watch it back in retrospect expecting Ryan Reynolds to be a little like quicker. And it's just no.
I thought the hostess,
they're like trying to fuck the hostess who's like 16.
16 years old.
Yeah, like, it's like, Jesus Christ.
Dane Cook crushed that though.
But it's like even the stuff that you'd be like, that wouldn't age well today. That's not even what it was. I was just like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
You know, I thought there were so many more insanely funny callbacks.
It's like, what, Andy Milonakis? And who was the other guy in that?
You need the Comedy Central cut. It was funnier when it was just airing on Comedy Central every 3 hours.
Yeah.
Right after Crank Yankers.
Poor.
Emily Blunt and Ryan Gosling have been cast in David Leitch's movie The Fall Guy. The film is based on the 1980 series of the same name, which featured Hollywood stunt performers who used their smarts and skills to moonlight as bounty hunters, catching swindlers, thieves, con men, fugitives, corrupt officials. Gosling's already played a stuntman.
Yes.
In Drive.
And this is obviously a guy who knows this world pretty well, in David Leitch, so.
Yeah, I mean, so he just did Bullet Train. This movie comes out in 2024. Tough for me not to say yes to an Emily Blunt and Ryan Gosling banger.
Mm-hmm.
I remember before this, he did Nobody, which was he produced Nobody, but directed Fast and Furious Hobbs and Shaw Presents, Deadpool 2, and Atomic Blonde. Mm-hmm. And then he did have directing credits. He co-directed John Wick, obviously, which is where everything started with him. We talked about this with J.J. Perry, who directed the movie that we're reviewing today. Sounds cool, but that, like, what more can you say?
Yeah, too early to tell.
This is going to be our first good video game adaptation.
When I saw the news, I did wonder if it was based off Fall Guys.
That was literally all the replies there, just posting the little Fall Guys.
I forgot about that game.
Fall Guys is a delightful game.
I mean, it sounds fun. It sounds like a streaming movie off the bat.
Or it's about Chris Carter,
Which is unfortunate.
The guy said that, right?
What?
Chris Carter's the guy.
Oh, yeah, Chris Carter. Yeah,
you need a Fall Guy at the Rookie Symposium.
Everyone needs a Fall Guy. Unreal.
Didn't really go well for him. Fall Guy's a very fun game, though.
Yeah. I haven't done that in a while.
Does this put the I guess like I've never bought into the idea that Emily Blunt would join Fantastic Four, but this has to, I mean, timing wise, put a little bit of a wrench in there for people who fan cast her.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit.
Yeah, I don't even know. It sounds like, by the way, that there's a rumor which looks like it's fake, but they say they've zeroed in on a director for Fantastic Four and it's expected to be announced. I think D23 you're gonna get the full Fantastic Four announcement and you're gonna get the placement of mutants. D23 is gonna be huge for Marvel, is my guess. So we'll see who it is at that point. I have no idea who. I'm very curious who they picked. I feel like they picked a big name.
Yeah, I would imagine.
be cool if they got someone kind of out of the box.
I really like that Penn Badgley fan cast.
Oh, no, oh, man, I would hate that so much. I hate that guy.
I think he's a good actor.
Well, he's good. That's what I mean. It's like he's good, but that's what I don't like about him, because he was good at that role. Now I can't imagine anything other than the fucking creep pervert dude. So,
you mean Dan from Gossip Girl?
Both.
he was a creep in that show, actually.
Yeah, I don't know.
No spoilers, but
I wonder if they announced director, because like, was it Watts backed out? I'm trying to think of who'd be good for like a team up movie.
Doesn't matter at this point. I mean, not to shit on Marvel too much, but it really doesn't feel like the director matters all that much.
That's true, because you could have said that about Taika. And yeah. Again, I'm on the side that liked Love and Thunder, but it that was one of those ones where it's like you can see the stamp. And I think he did a good job.
That's why I like Doctor Strange so much, because you could really feel Raimi at some points.
Like, yeah,
really,
but really that's rare. Like unless they get a big name, you're not going to see as much.
Yeah,
again,
Quentin Tarantino, Fantastic Four, I'd love it.
I still want his Star Trek movie.
This fucking Star Trek movie.
Even the fucking Chloe Zhao movie turned into a CGI monster fight at the end.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, yep. I don't think the director really matters at this point.
The docuseries in the United States men's national team when they hoist the trophy in Qatar.
Yeah, of course. I can't wait. That's World no Cup. Way that goes poorly.
Pronounced Qatar, by the way. Also Qatar.
Yeah.
I'm going to call it Qatar, though.
The official pronunciation I remember hearing was Qatar, and I was just like, I just feel like when you tell someone, like, a reference Qatar, and they're not going to know what you're talking about.
Actually, I think I'm mildly wrong, too. It's like a combo between Qatar and Qatar.
I'm not even going to try it. I'm not even going to try.
Wait, let's hear. Let's see what's... Qatar.
Qatar.
So it is. It's Qatar. That's like a mix between the both of them.
Qatar. Okay.
And then there's a second pronunciation.
So Qatar.
Give me one.
Qatar.
Give me one. If you're going to steal the World Cup from us, by the way, this should have been our World Cup.
Yeah.
Really?
This was supposed to be our World Cup. Russia was, England was the one. It was really like, if they would have done their job and not accepted bribes, it would have been England and then it would have been the U.S.
FIFA and soccer in general, especially outside of the Premier League, is the most corrupt organizations in like all of sports and maybe the entire world in general. It's crazy.
Plus one of them waters too, actually. Yeah, this would have been the U.S.'s World Cup. We're still getting a World Cup.
Yeah.
We get the next World Cup.
We do.
2026.
I think Cincinnati's like in the running to be one of the locations, which is so dumb.
They did the cities, right?
Like, yeah, I love Cincinnati, but it is not a very big... There's not enough hotels, it feels like.
Yeah, they did the cities already. What did they boil down to?
Cincinnati's remember, a really
summer
nice
in Mexico.
Stadium,
summer in Mexico. It's Mexico City.
That's really cool.
MetLife, Dallas... Arlington, Kansas City, Houston, LA, Seattle, Boston, Toronto, Guadalajara, Monterey, Vancouver, Miami, San Francisco, Philadelphia, Atlanta. Assuming the finale is probably in New York, because I just can't see the World Cup final being inside.
Yeah,
or at AT&T Stadium.
The Mexico City one. I remember Chargers were supposed to play in their stadium, but it was too fucked up like all the time, and they just never did maintenance on it, despite it being like one of the biggest stadiums in the world.
Super disappointed. SoFi is hosting in LA, not the Rose Bowl. The Rose Bowl is just such an epic venue that it's just a bummer that
they
swapped
the new
there.
One. SoFi, from everything I've ever heard from people who've been there so far, though, like it's one of the coolest stadiums.
Well, we drove outside in LA. It was incredible. Mm. But also, like, it's not a capacity thing. The Rose Bowl seats 30,000 more people. But it is a nice stadium, so I do get that. I could also see the final being there, too. But yeah, a couple in Toronto. A couple in Mexico.
Is this a bad idea, what they're doing here?
What?
Like, are we good enough to do a docuseries?
That's what I was saying before. It's just like, it's going to be interesting, because like, if we make it a little bit further than we're supposed to,
we're in an incredibly tough group once again.
Yeah.
England's going to be... is a fucking favorite to win the World Cup.
Well, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, we all know.
I know one thing about footy, and it's that England doesn't
it's
win.
Never
we are we are winning. Wales, Gareth Bale's first ever World Cup.
Hell yeah.
And then Iran is being looked over as like nothing. They're not that bad. They're actually fairly solid. They're not that far off us in FIFA rankings.
Is that Mo Salah?
No, that was Egypt. They did not make it in this upcoming World Cup. So yeah, that I we'll see. I think it very well could be. Yeah. We do have more international players than we ever have before. Mm-hmm. In terms of like on the big stage,
Pulisic, I know that
Tristan McKinney. Yeah, I mean we have big names. It's just a matter of I don't know. I'm excited to watch this. Like I am a big I'm a big Tristan McKinney. I went to school with Tristan McKinney in high school.
Did you
really? Weston McKinney, yes. No, I went to school with Tristan McKinney, who
McKinney
did not play soccer. It's Weston McKinney. Plays for Uve. But you're right. A lot of this comes down to, will they make it out of the group stage? Because there's still the run up. There's still, like, you know, the travel and the friendlies and all that. They did a behind the scenes on the Tennessee basketball team back in the 2006 NCAA tournament, and they beat a 15 seed at the buzzer, basically. Mm-hmm. Imagine putting all the resource into that, and then your 2 seed loses at the fucking buzzer. You have no more, and they got bounced the next round. You have no more content.
That's like the first season of All for Nothing, the Amazon series that does it like throughout the season. They did it for the Cardinals the first year, and they just went like 7-9.
Hard Knocks does not do it for me anymore.
I like this line.
I always wait.
I didn't watch the last episode. There was two episodes out now, right? Yeah. The first one, though, I thought was kind of interesting just because Dan Campbell's such a maniac. And, like, that part of it is interesting. And, like, what's his name was did that speech where he cried and all that. Like, that's kind of part of it's cool. But, like, you still know, despite all of Hard Knocks, they're still going to suck ass.
It just doesn't have, like, year. I don't know. There used to be a different juice with it.
That's for sure.
What, Hard Knocks? Oh, yeah. I usually wait to find out if, like, it's entertaining or not. Because if it's not entertaining, I'm not going
to
watch
it. The Raiders one was the one where everyone wanted it to be really good. Because, like, oh, okay, Gruden.
Yeah.
Antonio Brown. Like, you had, like, a couple weird moments, and then it never really.
It was him with his foot falling off.
Yeah, it never really took off.
Yeah. Showed up to work in a hot air balloon or whatever that was.
And lastly, Disney has set up a Tinder. You people were mad about this, and I think this is a little ridiculous.
I was mad about
it. Pretty regular advertising.
Really? Disney has set up a Tinder profile for She-Hulk ahead of her series premiere this week. I mean, part of it is like her dating life and like her life outside of just being like it lines up with the storyline. You don't have to like this.
You know why I'm mad? It's because I was getting no matches, and then I swiped right on this thing, and I thought I finally had a fucking match, and nope, it was an ad.
Okay, I personally felt attacked by it. Like, I get it if, like, you don't care about this, you don't care about the show and everything, but I don't know why are we really, like, roasting this?
Mm-hmm.
Is that big of a, really?
Yes.
I wasn't very bothered by this.
Did you watch? You're just going to trick innocent guys into thinking you're getting some green Badussi.
Did you watch? We got them.
I got them right when I got to. Have you not watched it at all?
I'm going to watch tonight.
Yeah, me too.
I'm going to watch tonight. We have not gotten Andor yet.
Yeah, that's the one
I would have dropped everything to go watch that.
They're doing a Andor re-release and something. I'm sure we'll get it here, but they're doing Andor
Rogue One re-release?
Or yeah, Rogue One re-release the 26th.
Didn't they just re-release fucking E.T.?
Yes, in IMAX? They did. I saw a trailer for that.
They're also doing Jaws coming up in September, which is weird that they do Jaws in September and not
during the summer.
During the summer, but they're doing it in IMAX for the first time. I'll mm-hmm. probably go see that.
Yeah. Let's see. I somebody said they re-released. I would go see E.T. on the big screen immediately. E.T. is just so fucking good.
I got it on my small 9-inch TV on VHS. If you want to watch it later.
Mrs. Harris.
I'm a Mac and me guy.
I prefer the McDonald's advertising. Dragon Ball Super superhero.
Bunch of anime films coming up right now.
Yeah,
big ones.
Dolby Cinema. Our theater.
I actually spent like an hour yesterday trying to get the new One Piece movie, and it was like the version I finally got was like 480p with French subtitles filmed in the back of a theater, and I was like, I can't do this. This is not good.
All right, that's news. Quick ad, 3chi. You don't need to live in a rec state. Get your hands on Delta 9 THC, folks. 3chi has federally legal dispensary grade cannabis products that deliver straight to your door. Choose from a wide variety of delicious edibles, vapes, drink enhancers, much more. Go to 3chi, the number 3chi.com, with your exclusive discount code to save on premium THC products and experience cannabis perfected right now. It is not CBD. So don't take this and think like you're gonna feel a high off this. You're gonna get a real buzz here.
Mm-hmm.
Get 5% off all 3chi premium THC products and experience cannabis perfected today. All you have to do is go to 3chi, the number 3chi.com. That's the number 3chi.com. Use promo code STOOL5 to take 5% off your order. Exclusive sale to Barstool listeners. Must be 21 to purchase. Two interviews. First up, Aubrey Plaza, the star. I almost said the star of Emily in Paris.
No, Emily the Criminal.
Emily the Criminal.
That show would no diss on Lily Collins. But,
absolute diss. It would be so much better.
But
every time it gets an Emmy nom,
it would
you're
be
like
so fucking good with Aubrey Plaza.
Every time it gets like a big Emmy nom, it's like how?
It's terrible. It's an awful show. God awful.
Emily the Criminal, not awful though. Here's our interview with Aubrey Plaza.
I read today, by the way, that that movie was based or inspired by Good Time, which is a great way to pitch it. That's instead of Dirty Harry from Windows, which is very accurate, both of them.
Here we go. Here is our interview with Aubrey Plaza.
We're very pleased to be joined after we just blew it with technical difficulties by Aubrey Plaza, first time ever. How are you?
Fine. What's going on? Where are you guys?
Not much. We are from lovely Manhattan right now.
Yeah.
What about you?
Just sunny Los Angeles.
Yeah. We usually complain about the, it's like kind of nice in Manhattan now, I guess. It's a summer.
I love summer in New York.
You like summer in New York? That's different.
Yeah.
That smell of burning garbage just always does it for me. That's my personal favorite I love about New York in the summer.
Yeah, just getting sandwich in the subway, feeling the sweat off of some stranger's body. It's the best.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Emily, we have a lot to talk about, but Emily the Criminal, we have to talk about it. I'm going to give you two. We always read a synopsis on here, just so for those who don't know. Do you want the long synopsis, the short synopsis? What should we give the listeners?
Short.
Saddled with debt, Emily gets involved in a credit card scam that pulls her into the criminal underworld of Los Angeles. That's it.
Damn, I want to see it. I want to see
straight
it.
Into the point. out August 12th. We'll talk about the theater element of things too, because I know you're a very big movie theater person. We are as well. We're gonna have to talk about ArcLight Cinema by the way at some point. But in theaters, very complex character, getting great reviews. One where people can kind of, I guess, I don't know, make their own decisions on how they feel about the character. Good, bad, does it even matter with the story? But you have to be excited for people to finally see this wide now after debuting at Sundance and everyone really loving it.
Is that a question?
Yeah. You're like amped.
Yeah, I'm amped. Yeah. I mean, this is like a labor of love. I mean, all the movies I've done, I feel like are, but this one, especially, we shot it last summer in Los Angeles at the fucking peak. Peak COVID, it's always peak COVID apparently, but like last summer, we it was the little movie that could. It was like it was just down and dirty, and the script is so good. The minute I read the script years ago, and I just was like, I have to make this movie. It's so good. And so I'm just, yeah, I'm definitely amped about it, and I'm excited that it's coming out in theaters. I haven't even seen it in a theater because it premiered at Sundance, but Sundance went virtual at the last minute this year. So I'm really psyched to see it in a theater too, along with everybody else. I'll be there.
You mentioned Sundance, obviously not your first rodeo there. What's that experience like for you?
I love it. It's my favorite. I mean, it's probably one of my favorite parts of this industry, just because it's just so much. I mean, obviously there's, it's just so much about what I love, what I love about what I'm doing, which is just like making movies and not trying, not making them for any other reason than just to try to make good films. So it's just a bunch of crazy film people in one place. So it's like Christmas for me. I love it there. And I'm always so honored and shocked that I get in, and I grew up like dreaming about going to Sundance, so I'm still I'm not jaded about it at all. I love it.
Would you say that you prefer working on indies, because you've been part of obviously plenty, but like so many great ones too? Like we were just talking about Black Bear before, a couple other ones as well. Like we like them so much.
Thank you. Wait, what was the question?
Do you just prefer working on indies versus other
projects? Oh, do I prefer it? The last couple of movies I've done, I produced. So I really prefer that. I mean, I prefer like, I really love being a part of the process from the very beginning to the very end, and really getting to make an impact on the final kind of delivery of the film. Like that to me, that process to me blows my mind every time. But I love all movies. I love big movies, and I've been in a lot of big movies too. And I treat them all the same. I mean, I think I'm not like snobby about it. Cause I grew up I grew up on all the big blockbusters and the rom-coms of the 90s and all those movies. Like they're all special to me. So I'll do anything. whatever you guys want.
I like how you mentioned that you produced it as well. Is it like an extra, like you mentioned, you produced not just this movie, but a couple other ones as well. Is it like an extra special feeling when like a movie that you produce does as well as even just this one, which is sitting at what, like 93% on?
Yeah, you did tweet out the Rotten Tomatoes score, which I do think is a great flex. Yeah.
Like I did. Oh my God. What was I thinking? I don't know. I know people care about the Rotten Tomatoes thing. So I'm like, by the way, just like FYI, everybody. But I don't know. Do people give a shit about that anymore? Is that a thing, right?
For sure, still.
When it doesn't line up what they want, they get mad. When it does line up what they want, they go, yeah, see? Like it all works.
Okay. Well, I'll take it. I mean.
Movies added it to marketing like a couple years. I think the Jumanji with The Rock was the first one I saw. Like, by the way, 86%.
By the way, 86%. Yeah. I mean, shit. I mean, I love it. Like, I'm just happy that people like it. It's way more satisfying to me as a producer, obviously, because even when I'm just an actor in movies, it's like I want to do a good job and do what I set out to do as an actor. But my dream is always to just be in a great film, like just be in one of those movies that people just, you know, be in a classic movie that you don't forget, that you watch over and over again, that you love and, you know, hold dear to your heart. Like, I want to be in those kinds of movies. So every movie that I'm in, I hope I'm like, oh, I hope this is great. I hope it's great. But it's definitely satisfying when I'm a producer on it, for sure.
Is there like a genre you prefer to work in? Because this character is a darker character. Is there like, would you prefer drama versus comedy versus anything else like that?
It depends on like what's going on in my life, honestly. Like I remember when I did Black Bear, I was like, you know what? I'm going to dive off the deep end and just get real dark right now. Cause that's just how I feel. Like, you know, when you just feel like you're like, fuck it, I'm just going to like get obliterated, like that feeling. It's like sometimes I feel that way and I'm like, I don't know, it's like I gravitate towards whatever I feel like I need at that moment. At this moment in my life, I'm like, can I just do a comedy? Can I just laugh? Can I just be around funny people and laugh like all day long? Because can I just do that? Because I miss that. The grass is always greener, you know.
Do you ever feel like you have to cleanse, like after a role, you're like, you kind of just said, it's like, I do have to do a pure comedy now. Like, I need to just get that last character like out of my system.
Yes. Yes. I take it really, I don't take it lightly. I get too crazy when I'm shooting. I get really into it to a fault sometimes. I haven't gotten very good at that. It's like, I need to like go somewhere. It's almost like I need to go lock myself up after every movie and like go just like sit by my, like be in solitary confinement for like 2 weeks. And then I'll be like able to function in the real world. But, or I just go thing to thing to thing. And then I just get crazier and crazier. And then, you know, I'll just be one of those people.
Have you like bordered on like the really wild, weird, like method act? We always reference the same thing.
Jared Leto has.
Wow. Jared Leto ate like ice cream and fucking olive oil only for every meal for like 6 months. Have you like
bored on for what? Wait, why did
he? Yeah, he gave himself gout.
Gave
That's
himself
right.
Gout. Yeah. He put himself in a wheelchair.
Why?
To play, Mark David Chapman, the guy who killed John Lennon, because that guy was a heavier set dude. So he gained all this weight for this movie. It bombed. Yeah, critically panned, made like $200,000 in the box office or something. And yeah, it took him forever to work it off. So,
oh my God, Jared, you know what? Respect. I'm into that stuff. I'm into it. Honestly, when people lose their shit like that, I love it. Yeah. I'm headed in that direction. I mean, I haven't done anything that extreme, but I wouldn't put it past me.
You could probably just, honestly, you could just kind of lie. Like, say this movie, something else, like, they're like, oh, Aubrey Plaza, the Oscar's in her sight. Is she going to get the nomination? You'd be like, guys, guess what I did?
I sent Theo Rossi a bag of pig dicks one day on set.
And oh, my.
What? Like, you just make up stories and everyone will run with it.
Okay, fine. I mean, I lie all the time anyway. I mean, sure. I guess I haven't done anything like too physical yet, but I will do that. I can't wait to get those prosthetics all over me and lose a bunch of weight or gain a bunch of weight or do whatever. I'll just do whatever. Yeah. If it's a good enough part, I'll do it.
Yeah.
But actually, actually, I'm going to ask you this question. You just said you lie all the time, which I love. Fellow pathological liar. When you go on a show like a, it could be something like.
I do not know. Why did I say that? That was a lie.
When you go, there it is. Inception of lies. When you go on like a late night show, like a Kimmel, a Fallon, something like, do you ever feel the tendency to need to tell like a little exaggerated story? Because I've heard we've heard that from some people. I know Joaquin Phoenix like says he makes up every story he tells on those shows.
Because first of all, it's a made up conversation. Like, it's a fabricated conversation that you've already had, so it's already boring. And then, so then it's like, it's not even, I mean, I think half the time it's like, you're not even trying to entertain the audience. You're trying to entertain yourself. At least I am, because I'm like, I've already said this shit. And like, it's like a rule of improv. I mean, I come from improv comedy background, and it's like, you don't repeat the same joke. You don't repeat anything. Like, everything's got to be new. So it's like, it short circuits in my brain. So I'm sure I've embellished stories, but my problem is that I have a terrible memory and I don't remember what happened to me last week. So I get the details wrong. I mean, all the time, my mother's always like, why did you say that? That's not true. And I'm like, well, I don't know, man. I don't remember. I don't remember. But I do the best I can. But yeah, you got to keep it. You just got to keep it interesting on those shows, because yeah, it's just like, it is a show after all. I mean, I don't know. Do people really care like what you did over the summer? I guess maybe they do for some people, but I'm always like, no one gives shit about what I did over the summer. Oh, what did you do over the summer, Aubrey? I'm like, I don't know. Nothing. I don't know. So then you just make up stuff.
You've mentioned like the idea of hitting theaters. Very excited about that. What is your personal for you? And now you actually said this, and you're going to have it with your movies. You haven't seen it in theaters yet. What is your personal movie theater experience like? Are you a popcorn person? You candy no. person? No food?
I don't like popcorn. I never like popcorn ever. Not once. I don't know why. It just tastes like burnt pieces of paper to me. I don't get it. Maybe I have like
an arcline popcorn. You may have like only been, life-changing.
She may have only eaten burnt popcorn, and that's just like shaped her entire experience of popcorn.
It just tastes like shit. It tastes like weird, like burnt space food. I mean, I would eat popcorn if it's covered in sugar and caramel sauce or whatever. But drugs. I don't know. I just maybe eat a little edible or something. It depends on what I'm seeing. Sometimes I have a coffee. I like having a coffee in the theater. Just keep me real kind of jacked up. And it depends. It really depends on the vibe.
Chemicals of any kind is the, yes. That's the move.
From chemicals. But I'm not like a super like popcorn sugary. And I hate those. I mean, I don't hate them, but the theaters where you can like order dinner. And so I know people like that, but it's so weird.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of like they come around, they take your order.
Lights
in the middle.
On kind of too in the theater, like it's
no, and they're like ducking. And I mean, I would do that for a movie I didn't give a shit about. Like, I would do that for a movie that I'm just like, this movie is like, I'm seeing this as a joke. But
like cutting a strip steak during like a Pixar movie. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. That's not my vibe.
Me neither.
We do want to talk to you. About
keep it classy.
Exactly. But, yeah. Right. We do want to talk to you about some other stuff as well. Ask some, because like Parks and Recreation was like one of my favorite shows throughout my entire childhood, but actually I'm more interested in talking about Legion. Because Legion, I think, was not underappreciated is the wrong word, but like every time I ask someone like, oh, you've seen Legion, right? And they're like I had it on my list or something. I'm like, you have to watch Legion because it's incredible. And we were just talking about how FX sneakily has the best catalog of television next to HBO. But I'd love to know just like what your experience like was with the show and like what a Noah Hawley script is like.
Oh my God. I mean, that whole show was like a one long, like psychedelic, like mushroom trip. Like it was insane. I mean, those scripts I'd have to read them multiple times before I understood what was going on. I mean, it was a real, like, it felt very experimental or something. The first season, I mean, it got different as it went along once I really knew kind of like what I was doing, but the first season was super trippy because it was like, you know, I mean, you saw it, so you know that it's like I'm playing this one character and then all of a sudden I'm like killed and being possessed by this other, you know, otherworldly whatever demon thing. And then, so then I become like a totally different character. And then he like flops it on its head where then all of a sudden, like the demon's out of me, but then I'm also dead and I'm kind of alive, but I'm not. Now I'm in jail. Now, I don't know. There was just, it was just like, it kept me on my toes. That's for sure. I never knew what was going to happen. It was a real, it was a challenge to like try to ground it in any kind of reality for myself, but really fun, really fun. I love working on that show. It's rare that I talk about it. What?
I feel like that's one where you need to look at the storyboard while you're reading it, the script like that, because it is so, like you're saying, like a trip.
It's really visual, Like, which was cool because I felt I was very inspired by, you know, like I thought a lot about like just like, I don't know, like the Joker and like Edward Scissorhands and just like weird, like I was very in like David Bowie and it's just different things. Like I was very, it allowed me to like really kind of expand my brain, and you don't get to do that on television that much and get to like really come up with characters. And you know, nothing was on the page. It was like, even visually how I looked and everything, like it was all like, we all just created it together. So it was fun. I loved it.
Yeah. We're big fans. I know. And me and our producer, we were waiting for it to get folded into the Marvel Cinematic Universe eventually, since it is an offshoot. So
right.
Superhero. You need to get some of those
Shadow King. Although I'm Lenny Busker. I'm just like, your run of the mill, you know, drug addict in a mental institution.
Is that two, like comic book stuff for you? That's two, right? Between that and Scott Pilgrim. Is there another one that I'm missing? Or things that are derived from comics? And
oh, I think that's it. Mm. Like I said, I have a terrible memory. I don't remember anything else, Sean.
You were in Scott Pilgrim, by the way. Just let it
I was? No. that's a
wild cast to look back on as well.
Mm-hmm.
I know. Can you believe it? Everybody. I feel like I've been in a lot of movies like that. Like I feel like I'm aging myself, but now I feel like I look back and there's certain movies. Like I was in this movie called 10 Years. You remember that movie? Channing Tatum was in it. Yeah. Everybody is in that movie. Like everybody, like 20 people that you're like, what?
Channing Tatum, Justin Long, Kate Mara, Rosario Dawson, Oscar Isaac.
Chris Pratt, Anthony Mackie.
That is a wild one.
Rosario Dawson,
Ari Grainer. Everybody's in that movie, dude.
That's insane. The Scott Pilgrim, Michael Cera, Mary Elizabeth Winstead, Kieran Culkin, who obviously is now in a whole different universe of
Chris Evans, Brandon Routh, Brie Larson, Anna Kendrick. The list goes on.
that is rather wild.
Mae Whitman.
Yeah,
Jason Schwartzman.
Yeah, you mentioned, and obviously, like, to just not say Edgar Wright's name off the top there. Yeah. It's another thing.
Monster of the
story. Last thing here.
We definitely need to do. We love doing this with any actor. We call it a six pack. So it's a six pack of questions that you can give us rapid fire answers. You'd be more expounded on it, whatever you want. First one, and this is a question I had to ask because I got it from specifically the Parks and Rec blooper reels. How often did Chris Pratt fart on set? Regular occurrence?
Oh, easily like every other scene. Probably every scene, honestly. We just didn't know about it. And it was a real toss-up between him and Offerman. It was disgusting, man. Me and Polar were always like, we don't like this. We don't think it's funny. And they thought it was so fucking funny, the two of them. God, they were so loud and disgusting.
There's the one blooper where it's him and Offerman going back and forth and they're like farting back and forth with each other on set. And there's one where you were stuck in the car with Pratt and he farts with the window closed.
We just interviewed Taylor Kitsch, who did a significantly more serious show on The Terminal List with Chris Pratt. And that was the one thing he brought up about him as well.
He's like, he's still farting.
Chris is still farting. He's still farting on people.
Yep.
Even after being an Avenger, he's just still.
I guess he takes after his father-in-law, I guess.
Yeah. Another one. What's a role that you auditioned for, really wanted and didn't get? Like the one. And we asked this to Jake Johnson, and he actually was like apparently second in line to play Andy Dwyer, and he lost it out to Chris Pratt.
Shut up. Mm-hmm. Is that true?
We don't know. He could have lied about that. Yeah. To be fair.
I don't have any regrets, man. I got none.
I love that. That's a great answer, actually.
I don't have any regrets.
It's a good answer. Green light. Here you go. Next one. You have a green light to make any movie you want. Who's your co-star and who's your director? Money, not enough.
Fuck. Nicolas Cage, Paul Thomas Anderson.
Oh my
but
God.
I want Nicolas Cage to direct and I want Paul Thomas Anderson to act. Wanted, yeah. But once yeah. in his life, you put yourself on camera, buddy. No, I'm kidding. The other way around.
Oh, but like Nick Cage directing a movie? Can you imagine like the auteur cinema that would come out of that experience? It would be insane.
Nick Cage directing me and Paul Thomas Anderson would be, yeah, I'm down. Let's do that.
If you could be a series regular on any sitcom, past or present, what would it be?
Oh my God. Seinfeld? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best sitcom ever. Otherwise, yeah. Fuck, I don't know. Designing Women?
Yeah, I mean, there's tough ones to beat. I mean, you'd Cougar Town would be classic next to sitting right next to Seinfeld.
Never saw it.
Joey.
Yeah, me neither. all right, what do you think the best indie movie ever made is? What's your number one all time?
Oh, I mean, fuck. I don't have a favorite, but I would say like, what I would say one of the best indie films that was ever made was probably You Can Count on Me. That's probably up there as one of the best ones ever. But I hate picking favorites.
I think we talked to J. Duplass about this, and he like reminded us sort of. He's like, "Yeah, don't forget, like Rocky was an indie movie. Like that."
That's true. There were movies that were indie films. Like, I mean, yeah, like Tarantino's movies were indie films. You know, all those guys. So I don't know. I can't say my favorite, but I would say You Can Count on Me. To me, was like it encapsulated like that's like a real like indie, and that I don't remember what year that was, but to me that changed a lot of. Things, I think.
Yeah. All right, last question. This one's the most serious. We've had people like hang up the Zoom call over it and everything. Like very, very controversial question. What do you think is the singular best fast food item on Earth?
Fast food item? I don't know. Gordita crunch? Yeah.
That is like the stock answer. That's if it's a good
is
answer.
Is it? I don't know what else.
No, because it's the best actually, one. It's a good answer.
I did lie. The stock answer is In-N-Out. Just a burger from In-N-Out.
Sorry. I thought we were supposed to choose like the most disgusting. In-N-Out, like, it's fast food, but it's like that's like a bougie, like whatever version. I don't know. I don't know what the point of this is.
Emily the Criminal, August 12th, in theaters. Crazy movie, crazy role, and I could only imagine based off initial thoughts and reviews, this is going to go well for you. So wish you luck on that. Any final elevator pitch for people needing to go see it?
It's Dirty Harry for millennials. It's a heist movie for the generation that's drowning in student loans. It's a revenge movie for the bullshit economy that we're living in right now. I don't know.
As I'll be paying student loans for like the next 20 years. Relatable.
It's cathartic. It's like, look, sometimes you got to make up the rules yourself. I'm quoting myself in the movie.
I saw that quote. That was good. That's nice.
thank you so much. We appreciate it. Good luck with the movie and everything.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much. All right, big thanks to Aubrey Plaza. Before we go into our interview with Theo Rossi, our co-star from the movie, this episode of Lights, Camera, Barstool brought to you by BetterHelp. And a word from our sponsor from BetterHelp will tell you that you should take care of much more than just your car, your diet, your house. Take care of yourself, your brain. How we care for our minds, we experience life, go through things, react to things, very important. You want to invest time in yourself more than anything else. Plenty of ways to support a healthy brain, like learning a new language, taking power naps. But guess what? There's also BetterHelp online therapy. We love BetterHelp. You don't have to go see anybody. You don't have to see anybody on your computer either. Video, phone, even live chat therapy sessions. If you are like, fuck this, I do not want to look at a human being. I don't want to talk to them. You really don't have to. You can go all the way down to video, to live chats. But you can do video. You can just do over the phone. Much more affordable than in-person therapy. You can be matched with a therapist in under 48 hours. Highly suggest using BetterHelp. Why not take a chance? That's actually the theme song to Foxwoods. A chance, make it happen. Yeah, great theme song. Nah, they both suck. Our listeners get 10% off their first order
month order at betterhelp.com, BETTERHELP.com/lights. It's BetterHelp, BetterHelp.com/lights. Go take care of yourself. Give it a try. Give it one chance. You don't like it, you don't have to keep doing it, but you'll like it. It's refreshing. It's good to have. Theo Rossi, also in Emily the Criminal, had a great time with him in studio. He also ranked all the boroughs of New York at the end.
Yes.
He's a Staten Island guy. So make your prediction now. Listen, Staten Island guy, where did he rank Staten Island?
He went from like 8 to 12. When we did Cloverfield, they created fake MySpace pages for us to make us seem real.
Oh, that's smart.
Before the movie
too.
Came out to make you believe the movie was real.
JJ, you dog.
What a move.
What a move.
We're just going to say that was the start of the podcast. Yes. We're just going to say that was the start of the interview. Anytime we talk MySpace, that's a big thing. Theo, thanks for joining us. Thank you for coming in. This is the second time we've talked about this movie. We talked to Aubrey last week.
The best.
I just left her. This movie has had a lot of acclaim for a while now. Awesome movie, but finally actually coming out. That's got to be nice.
Yeah, no, we're ready. We're ready now. I mean, when a film starts at Sundance, and especially since we did it virtual, you're just like ready for it to come out now. We just want people to see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, is that weird too to have it? It's one thing to have a movie like you know, you do a movie or a show and you do the press tour and you don't maybe know what everyone thinks about it. But when you have some people who already like it and you're just kind of sitting on it, is that significantly harder than if you don't know? Because you're like, what the f-? I just want people to see
it. I think it's
this.
The only way to do it with independent films, because there's no other way you're going to get seen. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you're not going to get that box office like slot. You're not going to get the major push of a studio until you're bought by someone. So your only way is to start and keep going through all the festivals. We've been to so many festivals, still in festivals to this day. But to start at Sundance, you kind of get all the runway of people talking about it. And you hope to build the hype, especially because we're in theaters. Mm-hmm.
She hit it with a description of Dirty Harry for millennials. Do you agree with
that? She just said that this morning on me.
Is that her canned line?
That's the thing.
That's
now.
A good
is that
can. It? Well, you got to have your own now, though.
Yeah,
you're just going to roll with that, or do you have your own, like.
I think it's like kind of a story. What'd she say? Dirty Harry for
Dirty
millennials?
Dirty Harry for millennials, yeah.
I'm not going to fucking
the
beat
Citizen
that.
Kane for millennials or something.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah. They're just throw a really good comparison movie onto it.
Yeah, because, and one that everybody knows. Exactly. Like, that's a stellar one to say. I need to say something with, like, the Warriors or something.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, the Warriors for young kids. I don't know, but it's something like that.
You get to play a bit of a bad guy in this, a little more of a complicated character,
kinda,
I'd say.
Not really.
It's three-dimensional character,
sure,
right?
Sure.
Are those sort of characters more appealing to you than, like, a broad-scope good guy or broad-scope bad guy? Or good or bad, I guess.
I think that's all in the eye of the beholder. I think we're all – somebody might think you're – a good person, and someone might think you're a terrible person.
Tell that
you
to
know?
My wife.
Yeah, my wife's right there. She feels the same way, you know? So it's like, depending on how you objectively look at it, I've been fortunate where fortunate and unfortunate, I've been around so many what people consider criminals, but they're like some of the nicest people in the world. It's not like they want to do crime. They just happen to do crime, like, right? But they're good people. And I've been around some people who are like on the straight and narrow who are fucking god awful human beings. So it's like, it all depends on how you look at it. I think what Yusuf is like, he's just one of those dudes that's kind of in a situation that he does something that's considered illegal, but his meeting of her kind of reveals that maybe he's not the person you think he is, and maybe she's not the person you think she is, you know, because she kind of finds her way. So I don't know. I like characters that have like a bunch of different layers, and I like kind of the yin and yang characters that show two sides of who they are. So you're always, so as an audience, you're looking at them and being like, wait, am I supposed to like this guy? Or, but he's a bad guy, right? And I think I've been fortunate with a lot of things that people know me from. That's kind of always the role I play, where you just keep them kind of guessing.
Yeah,
it's not like straight.
That's a great spot, though, to be in, I think, because then you do get, I think, a lot more intrigue out of those characters versus the, you know, superhero or something or whatever that is. Like,
yeah, I mean, you just want people to think, right?
Yeah.
You want them to relate. You want them to think, what would I do if I was that person? What would I do if I was Juice in Sons of Anarchy? What would I do if I was Shades? What would I do if I was Gene in True Story? Like, what would I do if I was those people? Yeah. And how would I handle the situation? I think with certain characters in certain types of films, that's the hero, and we're going to let you know. And that's the bad guy, and we're going to let you know.
Yeah.
And there's no gray area. And I think you need to have a gray area because people have gray areas.
we talked to Aubrey a lot about indie movies because she's like very entrenched in that world, obviously. What's more appealing to you, the sort of indie like this where like, you know, you get to film out on location in LA or like something more big budgety like Army of the Dead where you're out with a $1 trillion set?
They both have their appeal. Indies are more like family kind of thing where it's like, we're all just going to link arms and hopefully get this movie finished. That's like that's really what you're trying to do. Can we get through the day without getting shut down?
Well, tell that to Batgirl. I mean, you just got to pick one shut down.
Yeah. I mean, and again, it just happened to me on a bigger budget film. Mm-hmm. Things happen that you don't expect to happen now. So it's happening on all levels. And when you're on really big films, like, you know, Zach and I's film, it's like, that's amazing because you almost feel like you're in like a comic book. You're like, this is insane. It's all right here. Like, we had this giant set of zombies and it was all real. It was all practical. So it's like a whole different budgetary world that makes it cool and fun. So they both have their appeal. I love them both.
This is sitting pretty high in Rotten Tomatoes. We don't typically bring this up, but We mentioned this to Aubrey because she's been touting the Rotten Tomatoes score all over social media.
Yeah, we're getting one of those changed. It'll be back on 93 in a minute.
Is that something you care about? Is it like, hey, you know, if it's there, I gotta pump it a little bit?
No, I my whole thing in life, and it has to pertain to movies and anything else, is never take criticism from someone you wouldn't ask advice from. So it's like, I don't know those people. And I'm sure, you know, I know some critics and I'm sure they're amazing people, but I just don't know them. So to me, it's like, it's great. I love when people like the movie and I think it's someone's opinion if they don't like something you do. Not everybody's going to like you and not everybody's going to not like you. It's like, the thing is either way, doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because it can't impact what you're doing. Or I've done things that I thought were fantastic and critics hated. And I've done things that I thought, I was like, oh, that's going to be a rough one. And the critics go nuts over it. You have no idea and you have no control over it. Mm-hmm. So
sway the fans. That's what we've learned just from what we're doing this podcast, doing reviews. People were like, oh, I care more about what the audience says on this.
Right. But they're the ones listening. Yeah. Right. So it's like your thing, like with the podcast exactly, is like, are they enjoying it? Are people listening to it? Cool. And if they have a critique about it, is it relevant? Like, if you read some about it and you go, oh, maybe I get that. I get why they would say that. Or you go, oh, that's cool. But either way, it's irrelevant. You're not going to stop doing it unless someone tells you to stop doing it. You still got to do it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't help you in a way. So it's like with movies and television, I think it's the same way. Unless it's something that's beneficial where they're like, he looked like he was asleep through the role and didn't care. And then you go, yeah, I kind of felt that way in that. I didn't really care. It's weird that they noticed that. Or if it's like, he gave it his all, but the movies got awful. It's like, you did everything you can. So all you're doing is the best you can do. And that's all you kind of can do.
Mm-hmm. This obviously set. It's an LA movie, city crime movie. You're a Texas guy now, right?
Yeah, Austin.
I'm from Austin originally.
Look at this.
North of Austin, Cedar Park. I went to high school there.
We're in Hill Country.
Yeah, so that's now I live here, which I like. New York just smells like trash. Like, in the
you guys
summer.
Reverse path.
Oh, yeah, we reverse. I grew up here. And we lived here before we went back.
Did they trade us? Yeah, I don't know. Where did you go there?
What round did you get? I don't know. We got me and a couple of additional picks.
Straight swap. Great. Yeah. We did. New York did not get Whataburger in the trade.
That's a big difference for you. I mean, when we came back to do Luke Cage after LA, after Suns ended, and then we kind of knew right away we were going to get to Texas because it's fucking freezing here, dude.
That's my issue. I don't know what I think living there. So I was born in Connecticut, but then I moved to Texas for high school back in 2004. Cool. So I lived there. Family's been there forever. They moved to California temporarily, which all that really was just a more enforcing of the fact I don't like cold weather.
Yeah.
Like, it's just more Christmases not in the cold.
Yeah.
And now I am such a wimp. It's pathetic.
No, own it, because I'm the same way. I grew up here and I went to, you know, school in Albany and then like went right to LA for 15 years and it was freezing in Albany. But what I realize now being in Texas where it's like 104, but you don't feel it, but it's just like, I guess when we were here, it was so like, you're spending like shoveling snow off your car. You're like, why is this taking 20 minutes to do this?
Well, I'm sure like Kendrick, you probably like, there's whenever I'm cold, I think of like one moment
when my dad, when I would enjoy the snow, he'd be like, you're not going to like this one day.
Yeah.
And I don't shovel snow here, but I do now not like this.
It's brutal.
I don't like the cold. I'm over it.
I'm sure it's was even worse on Staten Island because like you guys are tighter.
And we had three big dogs. So it was like, you know, it's just harder to live. Some people absolutely love it. I have friends that think the snow is the greatest thing in the world and they don't mind the like 8 months of it or whatever it is just freezing here. People feel that way when I'm in Austin. They're like, isn't it hot all the time? I'm like, I absolutely think it's the greatest thing in the world.
Well, you know, we get here and it's my least favorite thing that anyone says. And they say like, I love the seasons. Like, okay, that's fine. Like if that's what you say, whatever. But then they go, oh, don't you love the cold air of football? I don't know. They seem to enjoy football quite a bit in the South.
Yeah,
without the thing in the world. They have no issue.
Just go in SEC country. You want a season? Go in the air conditioning.
Yeah, they have no problem enjoying football.
You want the fall? Go in the shade.
Yeah. As a Texas guy though, any like neo-Western interest, maybe instead of like a city crime?
I just started getting into the whole Western thing. We went down to the ghost towns in Terra Lingua and it was like around on the Rio Grande and like checking out all the like cowboy towns and stuff. It wasn't something I'm slowly dipping my feet way more into like being a Texan. Mm-hmm. We have like the ranch and
you're wearing
a bunch of chickens. I don't have cowboy boots on. No. No, I haven't done that yet.
I still have it, but I just can't pull it off.
I think they'd have to be square toed and like, I don't know if I'm doing the pointy ones. Those seem a little dressy.
Yeah.
Are they uncomfortable? You got to put inserts or something.
It just seems like there would be a process.
It's a process.
I just like lacing them up.
Yeah. I mean, I am wearing Carhartt at this point. I'm getting there. Yeah.
Baby steps.
I wear a bandana.
There's nothing worse to like someone who, and I feel like you could pull it off, but like wearing a cowboy hat and you can't wear one.
Yeah. I gotta tell you, I do it sometimes and I catch myself in the mirror when I come in and I'm like, I look utterly like ridiculous. Like I look like I'm in costume. But some people come over and they look amazing. Like they got cowboy, you know, there's a bunch of guys who are there and they have hats on and the boots. And I'm like, see, they look super cool. They got on like old school dungarees, like, you know, and I'm like, I would look like
you're like Mike TV from Willy Wonka.
I would look like I'm playing a part.
Exactly. Yeah.
It would look like a joke.
I bought one when I was in Vegas for the first time, and I put it on. And I'm like, this is great. It's so cool. And then like I walked out, looked in my mirror. My friends are like, you look like a moron. Like
Cowboy Bob Orton. Yeah.
It's so funny. Just like with Aubrey Plaza, we get to transition you from this movie to an FX banger because we got to talk to her about Legion. We talk to you about Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah.
Is FX just the best network to work with? Because their catalog is like as good as HBO's.
Super cool. When we came on, we were like the second one, right? The Shield. Yeah, the Shield was one of my favorite shows ever. Yeah. And then Sean Ryan and Kurt and we had every single person from the Shield on the show. So we at our first like big presser, like where we had just come out, the Shield was finishing up. So those guys were all there. And it was like for me, I was such a big fan of The Shield and I'm watching and I was like, wow, we're going to be on the same network as them. Mm-hmm. And then to become the biggest show like ever on the network and then to have all them on and to, again, remember, it's a different time in television. It's 8 years of people's life, every 6 months coming on. You're living with those characters for 8 years. So you ultimately become like part of their life. So when they see you, it's like they know you. Mm-hmm. Because they didn't binge watch your show in like 3 weeks. They lived with you for 8 years. So they went through all the trials and tribulations. They waited 6 months after a finale or a year, whatever it was when it came back on. Yeah, it was actually a year. But by the time it ended, and it's just a different response from the audience. So when I think about a show like that, the fact that people do binge watch it and how hectic it was, I can't imagine the emotional journey you're going on in like 2 weeks with that show. So yeah, it's super cool. I love FX. I love Landgraf, who runs the network, and I love all the shows on it. So it's just cool.
And Juice had like, I think one of the most incredibly complicated and also like tragic character arcs. It's like legit Greek tragedy. It's like insane. Like,
yeah. I just watched it for the first time. We just watched the show. Tig and I, we did like a review podcast.
Yeah.
Of it. And we just watched it. We just had Charlie on for like one of the last episodes and, he'd only seen like a few too. And I get it now. Like I always say on the show,
Hadn't watched it.
No.
Okay.
I watch a good amount. Like I watch finales, I watch premieres, but you don't, when you're watching it, when it's on, even when you do watch a few episodes, you're thinking like, oh, that scene got cut and you're kind of judging it. You're not, now we're so far removed. You're watching it like a fan.
Yeah.
Like you don't even recognize that time or those people. And I was just like, wow, Jax Teller's an awful person. And I feel so bad for Juice. And why'd they kill Clay? Like, he wasn't so bad. And like, wow, Gemma is really absolutely atrocious to everyone. And you start to watch as a fan, you get emotionally invested. And we didn't like hold back on the podcast. We talked about like everything and it was really cathartic. I think it made me a better actor. I think it made me like, I got to see like some of the great Jimmy Smiths and all these incredible actors work that I didn't do when I was watching it. And then we had everybody from the show on the podcast. So to get them to talk about it all these years later, because we were kind of part of something back then that was those shows like The Sopranos, The Wire, Oz, Breaking Bad, you know, of this television moment where those shows become almost like iconic to people, where it will always be associated with you. And I think that's just super fucking cool, man.
You got to deal with a lot of like interesting things. I think you got to deal with the race within the MCs. You got to deal with, I think, depression. You got to deal with friendship. Is that like the dream role for an actor, to get to do all these different like spectrum of emotions?
Yeah. I mean, the goal is to play as many different things as you can. You want to, if you're not scared shit of doing it, you should, like for me, you shouldn't do it. So when Kurt would present me with things and like, this is going to happen in prison and this, you're going to try to take your own life for this. When you first hear it, it's like, oh fuck, that's going to be like heavy. And then you realize like, okay, cool. Because I can't imagine, I'm fortunate. Well, maybe fortunate, unfortunate. My wife's definitely not fortunate. I've never played anything that's really, I guess, what some might consider easy. It's always been more complicated emotionally, but I think that that's my favorite thing, because I get to like discover things about myself and I get to discover things about these characters and I get to kind of do maybe more due diligence on what it is, as opposed to just like sometimes like saying lines, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, you more have to go deeper of why, what was happening. And with someone like Juice, it was like, he was all over the place. Started as the comic relief. Then he, you know, turned on them and he's on the run. Then he's basically going for his survival. Then he's dealing with his own inner demons. Then he's dealing with stuff with his father. Then he's dealing with shame. And it's just dealing with depression. And then ultimately, you know, just absolute horror that it happened to him in prison. So I just, yeah, it was amazing. It's cool to watch now. It's definitely was different when I was doing it.
I think you had one of the coolest death scenes of all time, for whatever that's worth.
Let me finish my pie.
Just let me finish my pie. What a line that was.
What a line.
Incredible. We'd love to talk to you about Staten Island a little bit too.
Let's go.
So something I did in my little independent research, and I couldn't find you talking about this anywhere.
Yeah.
You went to
big question.
You went to high school with the Impractical Jokers.
I think they were younger.
Yeah, you were 2 years older, two grades above them. Did you know them while they were in school?
I didn't, but those guys are amazing. They came to we did a charity event for Staten Strong, which was absolutely insane when Sandy hit. And we raised a ton of money. I don't even know the number, but a ton. And we had this big event and I had all the guys from Sons. I think like Twisted Sister was there. I don't know. It was weird. Oh, and then,
just from Long Island. Yeah.
All the Impractical Jokers. And I got to meet them briefly. But yeah, I mean, I see those guys everywhere. Like they always have like live shows.
They were here recently.
The show's been on for
ever. Crazy.
Yeah.
Like for a long time. Like, yeah. It's like Always Sunny's in Philadelphia. It's been on forever.
Yeah.
Right? That's amazing. So they all went to Farrell.
Yeah, all of them.
Could you do it? Could you sit in there with them and mess with people on hidden camera? Do you have
those
feel
bad for people, but I think I could. Like, yeah, I would just feel bad. I mean, I guess in Staten Island, you can get away with it because everybody's always like, you know, messing with each other constantly. But yeah, I don't know. I think I'd feel bad. Like I've seen some, because they just are constantly, but aren't they doing it to each other?
Yeah, the end, you have to punish one of them who did the worst during the challenge.
The worst thing that I always say, the worst thing I did on that show is Sal had to go to Foxwoods sit in a bingo hall, and he had to yell bingo on incorrect
every
like,
single
repeatedly
round.
Over like and over. And it's one of the
people
toughest.
Are angry.
Oh, yeah.
Furious.
Oh, yeah.
I like, take bingo seriously.
Yeah. So like, not just like bingo, wait 5 minutes, like bingo after every night. Like yeah. It was.
I have to watch that.
You can see it. You can go find just that clip on YouTube. It is.
is painful.
Yeah. That is amazing.
So that one you're out on. You just
I don't know if I could do that because I love bingo and I would be
I respect the game.
Yeah, I don't know if I could do that to other bingo players. And if especially if like the average age is like 65, that's playing.
Oh, it was. Oh yeah, it was. They were. Yeah,
they don't care anymore. They got nothing to lose.
We'll kill you dead on the spot.
They got nothing to lose. They are coming after you. Yeah, I don't want to get clotheslined by a 69, 68-year-old. Yeah.
All right, we have one last thing here. Well, actually, we guess we have two things left. We call it a six pack. Just a six pack of like rapid fire questions. You can give short answers, long answers, whatever you feel.
We'll see what happens.
What is the best tax haven filming location? I'm talking Atlanta, Bulgaria, Toronto, all the places where people find it easiest to film because of money.
I filmed in all of them. I would probably say Bulgaria, just because you get a lot more for your money, it seems. A little odd, too. Like the makeup artists are working on you while they have cigarettes in their mouth and stuff. Like, I can't see anything. But yeah, it's. I would say from what I've noticed, it would be Bulgaria.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
One role you auditioned for, really wanted, but didn't get. You have one. Some don't. Some don't have one.
I don't have one.
That's what Aubrey said, too. She was like, I don't have any regrets with anything.
I don't.
Yeah.
I don't. Is there any, like... No. I mean, maybe in the moment I was like, what? What happened? No, I don't have any. I've been kind of good. I'm a big believer and it sounds crazy and I've said it, like what hits you is supposed to hit you and what misses you is supposed to miss you.
Yeah. That's what I think some actors say too. They're like, yeah, like after it comes out, I'm like, shit, I didn't get it. But like this person killed it.
I wouldn't be here talking to you. How do I know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Your whole life might have been different. You never know.
Yeah.
In the worst way too. You never know. You could build your dream movie with an infinite budget. Who's your director and who's your co-star?
Scorsese, probably, or Paul Thomas Anderson. So it would be
Paul Thomas Anderson too.
Yeah, it'd probably be Paul Thomas Anderson at this point right now. Unlimited budget would be whatever he needs as the director. And what was the next part?
Co-star for yourself.
For myself, I love John Turturro. Is one of my favorite actors.
One of our first interviews in this pod, actually.
Yeah, he's one of my favorites ever. So alive, people alive?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was about to go.
I mean, unlimited budget could mean.
Unlimited budget. Am I going to get like a hologram of John Cassell from Godfather?
Again, unlimited budget. It's
yeah. No, it'd probably be, I mean, yeah, because then I'm like getting Philip Seymour Hoffman, John Cassell, you know, potentially.
You're reuniting Paul Thomas Anderson.
I get Gene Hackman out of retirement. I'm getting everybody out. No, but probably Jeffrey Wright. I'm a big fan of John Cassell.
I love him.
Javier Bardem is probably, you know, one of the best actors working. I think that's pretty good.
You could definitely play John Turturro's son. Like, I could see that.
He's the greatest.
Easily.
I'll take that career all day.
Weirdest fan interaction you've had.
Oh, man.
We love this question. We always get the weirdest answers. Usually it happens in a bathroom for some reason.
Mine didn't happen in a bathroom. I think I told this story once. It was just really off. Like, it was just weird. Like, you know when everything's moving fast and it kind of hits you? We were doing Tig and I think me, Tig, and maybe Unser. I don't know. We were doing this big signing somewhere, and there was a ton of people there, and it was hot, I remember, and there was all these people online. And this woman came up, and she was super excited, and she said, I don't remember exactly how it was worded. She said, do you have a black marker or whatever? And she said, something like, can you sign my vagina with your penis?
In the middle of like a crowded, oh my God.
And I just thought, my first thing was like, tactically, I don't know how I'd do that.
Yeah.
Your first thought not being like, the biological, can somebody help right now?
Would it be permanent? Like, I don't know what's going on here. And it was just so like, I was like, that was really interesting wording, the way she did that. And how long did she think about that?
Mm-hmm.
Was she thinking about it the whole time online? Did she know she was going to say that, or did that just come to her in the moment? Was it improv?
Yeah.
Like just the ability to say that.
Yeah.
It's fascinating.
Like, yeah.
It takes either like that psychosis or balls. I don't know.
Yeah, she should write sitcoms.
Yeah. Speaking of, what is one currently running TV show that you would love to have a role in? What's something you're watching where you're like, shit, I would love to be a big role, tiny role, whatever.
Oh man, I'm terrible with this. All I watch is like YouTube and stuff.
Is there a YouTube series you want to jump on?
Oh, I'm a big fan of a couple of YouTube series. There's some really good ones out.
There are.
Critical Drinker is fantastic. Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan. I don't know. No, you know what? The TV show that I absolutely love is Sadie plays my daughter in an upcoming movie. I watched Stranger Things. Mm-hmm. It's, I mean, season four was
fucking
unbelievable. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a big fan of that show. So I think just for, but no, probably something like the kids. Like we have two little kids. Mm-hmm. I'd be on like Coco Melon or something.
I love that. Yeah. I love
on Blippi. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I'll get on Blippi. Yeah.
Paw Patrol.
Oh, they would go if you're on Paw Patrol. If I was on Paw Patrol. Yeah. So yeah, I'll do like Coco Melon.
Getting lost in a role.
I'll do a guest spot on Coco Melon.
Yeah, I'm method acting Paw Patrol. Walking around all fours in my house.
I would love to be the new character. They had a new one in the movie. She there came on, yeah. I'm joining Paw Patrol.
last question. This is a tough one.
This is a really tough.
You got to objectively rank the New York boroughs.
Objectively, no biases.
Yeah, okay. I could do that. Objectively.
Yes.
Oof, this is going to be fucking painful for people. I'm a very, very, very big fan because I think that it's hard to deny. It would be hard for anyone to say Manhattan's not number one just because of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
So, yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. So you do Manhattan number one?
I have to.
Yeah. Okay.
Just because I have to, because of everything it includes.
And then what's number two?
The Bronx, because it's the home of the birth of hip hop. And
mm-hmm. Oh, now it's getting tough. You're thinking, do I put Staten Island here or do I have to go to Brooklyn?
No, I'm putting Brooklyn third.
Brooklyn, okay.
Yeah. Biggie and all that, and that's where my family's from before mm-hmm. they moved and all that, and kind of the genesis of it all.
Oh, now
I had a lot of friends from Queens in college.
Oh yeah. No, you're really gonna put it last?
No, I'm not. I haven't spent a ton of time in Queens. I used to play football up there, so I'd put Staten Island fourth.
Man, the people in like Corona right now just stomping.
Queens is listening. They're like, he wants us at four. We can tell.
They get the vibe.
they can hear it in your voice.
The Ozone Park people.
Here's the thing
out.
With Staten Island. I am not under any
illusions over.
No, I absolutely am so happy for the childhood I have. Mm-hmm. I love it. My family's still there. Everybody's still there, but it's a tough place.
And we'll say Staten Island's been getting a decent amount of shine on TV now. Like,
of course.
What We Do in the Shadows is like,
yeah, everybody. If they would have kept, there is part of a subway that was built. If that, it would have been an entirely different place. Mm. And then if that, you know, if that wheel never got shut down and all that stuff that was going to happen there. Mm-hmm. But the truth is, you know, and why I have so much love for it was, and I'm a little older, was like in 93 when The Who came out, you know, before that, you would always say, oh, yeah, my family's from Brooklyn, but I live in Staten Island. Mm-hmm. And then when they came out, you were like, Staten Island, Shallon. Like, you were just so proud of it. So it's like what I tell them and, you know, Ghost and Matt, like, they changed the whole vision of the island. And I think that if it was for subways and it's just so hard to get to.
Yes. Staten Island Ferry's cool, though.
It is. Get there. 32 minutes or something. They have a fast boat. I think they had it down to 20-something, right? But it's just a tough get to. But I still will say, I think, and anybody could at me or whatever the kids say nowadays, Staten Island is the best food of any borough.
I see. I would agree. Their food is insanely good. I went there for
insanely
dinner recently.
Good.
It's funny because my only experience with Staten Island was because I grew up on Long Island, taking the Belt Parkway, the worst thing on earth, to the bridge to get on Staten Island, and then the even worse bridge to Gothel's Bridge or whatever. And it's just nothing
just
but misery.
You just redid one of them.
Yeah, and it was just nothing but misery the entire way because the Belt Parkway is enough to drive any sane person insane.
Basically, I mean, when we did Luke Cage in Greenpoint, you know, I traveled from Staten Island and it was like, you know, it's so weird. If you go at 5:30 in the morning, there's no one there. You're getting there in like 28 minutes and you're like, wow, this could actually be done. And then if you go at the wrong time, it's like 7.5 hours. Yeah. And you're like, what? Why'd this take so long? Yep. And it's just because of the way it's set up. So it's logistically is why it's in fourth place. Mm-hmm.
What's our crazy coworker from Staten Island, Rico, who wanted to meet you.
Yeah.
We won't tell him that.
I heard he's friends with my sister.
Yeah,
it is, yes.
Yeah, we won't.
Is he like all in on the island?
No, he won't say it to you in person. He's standing outside. We'll see if there's a throwdown.
But it's like there's another, you know, part of it that's hard. the island. People always say, like, Long Island?
Yeah.
And it's like, no, Staten Island. And it's like, they got to do something with the name thing.
You are the bigger island.
You are the bigger island, but it's like, you got Ronkonkoma. Like,
you're an Austin guy now anyway. It's okay. Yeah, we're claiming you. Yeah, guys.
It's awesome.
You're both on Long Island, but no one's ever going to say, like, yeah, I'm from Long Island when you're from Queens.
Well, people that were from, like, I went to school with who were in Little Neck, and then that's right next to it. It's like Great Neck, Little Neck, right? Yeah. They'd kind of like... Some people would say they're not in Long Island. That's Queens.
Yeah, it's like that's Long Island.
Yeah,
there's Long Island. There's if you're from.
Thank you so much for stopping by.
Thanks for having me.
In theaters, never gets old saying that. August 12th. Never gets old saying that. August 12th.
Yeah.
August 12th. Thank you so much. Stop by anytime.
Sure.
Anytime you want.
I'll be here tomorrow.
Cowboy boots, though, expect you though.
Yes, we need the boots
and your hat. We'll bring your hat. Yeah, let's do it.
This is
right.
I wish you remembered the Impractical Jokers going to school with them. It would have been amazing if they were like actually like friendly in high school.
I went like they just played pranks on everybody endlessly.
I just can't even imagine like him next to Joe Gatto in general. Like I just can't even picture them together.
Like they got lunch together.
Mm-hmm. That would have been incredible. Oh, I
play
wish.
Dodgeball against each other.
You say, yeah, I once like broke Murr's femur accidentally.
I tackled Murr in spring ball.
Yeah. Fuck, I wish.
Broke his kneecap. All right, movie time. Day Shift, starring, as we said earlier in the pod, Jamie Foxx, Dave Franco, Carlos Souza, for those who watched How to Get Away with Murder.
Mm-hmm.
That was a season two on that show.
Yep.
They already got away with the murder. Actually, maybe they didn't. Maybe they got away in the second season. Part of that, that was when the Shonda Rhimes lineup was unbeatable.
Oh, my God. My girlfriend started fucking Grey's Anatomy. The soundtrack of that show alone makes you want to just fucking die.
I started... Killing Eve yesterday. Yeah, I'm a little late on it, but I started Killing Eve yesterday. I watched 5 episodes in a row. Really fucking good.
It's that show, like, I did probably like a few more episodes than you, but then it tailed off. I was just like, it's just one of those shows where I hit a point where I'm like, this isn't for me. I can't watch this anymore.
Jodie Comer is definitely for me. I'll just say that much.
Yeah, that for sure. But just the pace of that show is just not what I'm into.
Day Shift. A hardworking dad out to provide for his daughter uses a boring pool cleaning job as a front for his real gig. Hunting and killing vampires. Again, Jamie Foxx, Dave Franco, Snoop Dogg in this as well. Megan Good, who we recently interviewed not that long ago. Also, Scott Adkins.
Yeah, King. B-movie action King.
Yep. 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 Bunch of other people as well that you may recognize. Peter Stormare's in this as well.
Yeah, best on-screen Lucifer ever.
Incredible voice. Incredible look no matter what he's in. Day Shift. It's a vampire action comedy is probably the best way to put it.
Yeah.
Screenplay by Shea Hatton, Tyler Tice. Again, J.J. Perry directed. Longtime stuntman. And you can tell because the action movie is awesome.
Yeah, yeah, the first scene awesome. Is very clearly. Yeah.
There's awesome action in this movie. I think it's very funny, too.
Yeah.
But I just think the storylines are a little... not neat and messy. I don't need this much backstory on my vamps.
Mm.
So I have, with full transparency, I found out we were reviewing this movie and not Bodies, Bodies, Bodies. Like
right,
last night at like 11:30, yeah. So I woke up and
we're
I
doing that next
movie.
Week, by the way.
Yeah.
I still have 35 minutes left on this film. And it sucks because it was just starting to get like really like getting into the groove. Like Dave Franco had showed up like 20 minutes before. But the first 30 minutes outside of the like action scene with the grandma. Pretty rough.
Here's my biggest issue with this movie. I don't think it's, well, I'm not giving it a passing grade, so I guess I'm saying it's not good or average. I enjoyed it quite a bit in terms of like the comedy and the action.
Yeah.
I gave it a 67. Like I had a lot of fun with it, but I'll tell you what, I don't care about vampires that much. Like I would prefer if like the vampires, and this goes for zombies as well. I don't need that much, like, I just want them dead.
Mm.
Like, kill them. Because I thought the cooler, I like the storyline of, like, the union work stuff.
Yeah, that was cool.
I thought that was different and funny. I wish that was, like, kind of the main antagonist-y part of the movie, right? Would you agree on that?
That was a good, the manager guy was, like, a good example of that. Like, he would have been a great
right, like,
antagonist.
That, I think that would have improved it so much. Because then it just became too much for me to truly... I guess care about like I just don't care about
the vampire side of things here. No offense to vamps out there.
What was she doing? She was a real estate. I don't care about spoilers, by the way. She was a real estate agent, right?
She's a mega vampire.
Okay. That's all I need to know.
Yeah, she's a mega vampire that could walk out. She's a daywalker.
I wish they would have, ironically enough, because J.J. Perry worked with John Wick, I wish they would have gone more the John Wick route when he was on the run. And he's running from his own thing.
I didn't want to say it because I don't want to compare this movie to John Wick. But like when they're at the Union Place, I was like, this kind of has like a weird John Wick vibe too. Because like it's like where they have like the bounties running up and like the numbers are clicking.
Of it, yeah.
And I was like, this is interesting.
The best part of the movie for me. But I just think the other thing dragged it down enough. So I gave it a 67. We can talk a little further about it. Very funny. I thought Dave Franco, Jamie Foxx, like I thought that combo was funny. But again, the thing for me is I anything involving like too much discussion about the vampire, they should be faceless characters to me in this movie, because I really would have liked like the union work angle of it being the main antagonist, where like he is going against his own thing he works for, where that kind of makes nobody, I guess, the good or bad guy. That would have been enjoyable to me. It was funny. It was funny. And the action was cool. The drone stuff was sick too. I liked it quite a bit.
It worked better in that than it worked in like most other recent movies, especially via Netflix. I gave it a 63, and I think I disagree to an extent about the lore of the vampires, because I think that the lore of that they had set up was like kind of cool and unique. I don't think we needed as much as they gave.
It worked. I'll say that.
Yeah, like for example, when they were in that house or whatever, and he's like, yeah, this species wouldn't live, but this species wouldn't live, this species. Like, yeah, I don't need all that. Like, but if you teach me like how in this world of vampires, like once they reach a certain age, like their fangs mean a certain thing, and like they're worth different amounts of money. Like that part of it, I thought was awesome. Like you guys were saying, like the union world of it, and like that bureaucracy of like all these people trying to like basically, it's like they impose that normal world union stuff onto this vampire world. I thought that was great. The action was cool because like we kind of expect that with J.J. Perry, like any stuntman guy that goes into the directing world. And I think the throws, the wire work, the contortionist, which we talked to him about, I thought that added to the creepiness, because like you can tell it's not like a CGI thing, it's just a person really bent up into a fucking pretzel. I think that's kind of cool. The humor, like you were saying, I don't think it always worked, but it definitely had moments. But on the bad side of things, I think the comedy to action ratio is out of whack in favor of the action. And I think like you were saying with the John Wick thing, like a genuinely darker version of this same movie, like a John Wick tone of this movie would have been awesome versus trying to impose the comedy into it.
Got to wait for the sequel, Night Shift.
Yeah, I guess that's going to be a problem. He did mention that in our interview.
You weren't in on that interview. That's right. Yeah. So he did say that.
Yeah. And he did say it would be Night Shift too.
There you go.
I think the other biggest problem I had was that I don't think Jamie Foxx and Dave Franco had particularly good chemistry for what is a buddy cop movie. Like, I don't think they didn't bounce off each other particularly well. And like, I get what they were trying to do with like the grizzled old vet versus like the pencil pusher pushed into field work. Like, I understand that. It just didn't really work for me. Definitely a little bit too long. Like, I think if you cut off a half hour of this and make it more like a consolidated punch of humor, like instead of having to expound all those, like keep the funniest parts and keep the best action parts and chop off a half hour.
Because it is self-aware.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
I was going to say, I think that's probably my favorite part about this movie. I don't really love it. So I'm going to break it into three different scores. The first 40 minutes is a 40. Second 40 minutes, we're at a 70. So it picked up quite a bit once Dave Franco arrived. The third 40 minutes, I don't know yet. I'll probably tweet out the final 30-minute score or 40-minute score afterwards if I decide to watch the rest of this movie. But the biggest credit I can give to this is that it's not trying to out-Hollywood Hollywood, which is what I feel like Netflix has always been trying to do with their action movies
right.
and their big like star-driven movies. This movie very clearly knows that it's a streaming film. And I really like that. I think that they should definitely lean in that direction. I think that's where they'd have a lot more success, because they're never going to out Hollywood, especially if they're not willing to put their movies in theaters.
Yeah.
It knows what it is. I will say that's why it works for me and why it's enjoyable. It does know what it is. Like if this had tried to be like a big time crazy fucking insane thing, maybe not. But then like, in knowing what it is and leaning in on action, like why did like Extraction work so well, right? Yeah. Like it's like but also Extraction was very simple.
Yeah, for sure.
Like I think this movie needed to be a little simpler. a little easier to. It's not that it's hard to digest. It's just like it's a couple things going on, and I was like, it's a little too much. Like, keep it
lean. You know what I mean? I just needs the lean. The ratio of the comedy action need to be a little bit better. Almost like when you look at Nobody, for example, like another connected movie to this director and all that stuff. Like Nobody, I think, found that balance perfectly, where it's like we're doing like 25%. Like humor, and like it's very, very small, dry, witty parts, and then the rest of it is just action. Like that, I think, worked well for that movie. I think this one could have just used a little bit of a shift. I just don't know in which direction is the problem.
I definitely think it should have leaned more comedy. Versus, I think dark. The comedy parts are the best parts for me so far. I think even that opening action sequence, like it kind of dragged a little bit. It kind of ran just like probably 2 minutes.
That was the thing.
It did look good, but I think it ran about a minute too long, minute or 2 minutes too long.
But again, this is where I give it its points. Like, it is fun. Mm. It's fun and it's enjoyable, and that is the point. And that's where I'm going to give it credit. Like, it knows what it wants to be. But even then, sometimes when a movie knows what it wants to be, it still kind of gives you a little too much in certain areas.
Yeah.
And that's where, like, I'm okay if you really strip the story down for something like this as much as possible.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't bother me. I listened to a couple reviews. I was kind of curious what people said about this, because I didn't really have a good gauge on it. Where, like, Prey, I kind of knew what people were going to say about Prey, and people would like it and have kind of the same take. There were some people who were kind of, like, discussing the story and script. I was like, I'm not really – if the jokes hit for me, that's all I really care about here. Mm-hmm. Unless the story gets too in the way. Like, I'm okay. As long as, like, if you're doing kind of a turn your brain off, have fun with it movie. Again, Godzilla vs. Kong.
Yeah.
I like Godzilla vs. Kong quite a bit because it focused on what we wanted, the fucking monsters.
Instead of King of the Monsters, which was like, hey, let's do as much story as we possibly can.
Which I still defend. I still like that movie. Maybe it's biased from the trailer. But Godzilla vs. Kong was awesome. And the script was what? Godzilla punches Kong. Like, that's I don't need the script to be the story to be insane.
Podcaster. There was the podcast subplot. Don't forget that.
That's right. Brian Tyree Henry was a podcaster.
And what's her face?
Oh, fuck. I forget who the... Yeah.
L.
Yeah. Well,
Millie Bobby Brown. Yeah.
Screamed so much.
But yeah, no. I agree with you. If you're going to do a simple, fun movie, then don't have five storylines going at once.
Yeah.
Yeah, again, that's a big... And I thought it was actually a very fun... I won't even say, like, they did a nice job. Like, I really did enjoy the idea of, like, the union.
Yeah.
Like, him not being part of the union. And
it just... get union rates and...
It's perfectly ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yes.
I wish they would have, like... there was, like, some Pawn stuff in here. I wish they would have incorporated Pawn Stars, though.
I like how...
I would have loved the good cameo by Marina Chumley. People don't like it.
Best I can do
done
is,
too many bad
best
things
I can like, do is Harrison. $2,000
the one thing I do wish too is I wish it wasn't in LA. I kind of wish it was in like
I kind of wish it was in Florida, which is where they were trying to move. Florida would have been funny, because then it's like, what if he just like shoots some like like regular drugged weirdo. Up like basalt motherfucker and he's like, I thought he was a vampire,
not a vamp. Like any I think a different city would have been a little bit cooler,
but I do like the idea of vampires in like that
a different area than you would expect.
Like not just in like the Midwest.
Yeah, where would be like the weirdest thing? Like,
but I think it's funny when they're in the Midwest, because vampires are always so hot. They don't really stick out in L.A. Everyone's already too hot.
I like that contrast, though.
Yeah.
In terms of vampire movies, though.
You know, what's a funny scene I just remembered from the movie, which made me laugh out loud. And this was like when you were saying with the self-awareness, that one scene where the guy's like, yo, bro, I need a bullet. And he like.
He runs out of bullets.
And he does like the full fucking flip and like gets the gun right into the chamber, the bullet right into the chamber. It was so goddamn funny. And like, that's the sort of self awareness which I loved about it.
That's why I do think, like, I will say, like, 67, that's not a great score. I do give a recommendation on this. Like, I think this is like, if you're looking to have some fun action, sit down and watch, absolutely put this on. Mm-hmm. I do not think you'd be disappointed. Now, if you're going to go watch this and you're like, let's see what Netflix has done at the cinema next, you're going to probably not love it. Like, I won't, but again, that's not the point of this.
That's like Gooch before said, like, I didn't finish this film. Like, it might be generous being like, this is a film. You know what I mean? It's like, this is a big time movie. This is a movie. Definitely not in the film vibe world.
Now, is it a movie that would exist outside of theaters too? It's like one of those nice things. It's like, glad Netflix is here for, like, this is this type of thing that Netflix should be a vessel for more than like the big, crazy, huge thing that they're going to spend $4 trillion on.
Yeah.
What was the one with Ben Affleck?
Oh,
the Mountain Men, right?
Something
like that. Oh, Triple Frontier.
Triple Frontier.
And that was a good ass cast too. Oscar Isaac, Pedro Pascal. I forget. Garrett Hedlund.
That movie felt so long. That movie felt really long.
It should have been so good. That whole crew was amazing. Damn.
But in terms of like the best, vampire movies. I mean, you're gonna get a lot of Dracula up there.
Yeah.
Bram Stoker's is it like wait, is that is
Bram Stoker's it? The gold standard, I think.
But if you're doing vampire movies,
What We Do in the Shadows has to be up there.
I mean, What We Do in the Shadows. Because then What We Do is our number one, right?
Yeah.
Not even close.
Yeah, but again, it's not, it's, I feel like it's a betrayal of like the term, like the vampire world. You know, you think darker, you think like nastier than.
But like if we put out a graphic of us cheering vampire movies, we would have to include it.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Because this is a comedy as well.
Where's Twilight coming on that one?
The Twilight series and the Blade series, I think, are like neck and neck. Oof. People hate to hear that, but it's true.
Oh, even I think that's unfair. Even so with their creepy bad.
Baby. Dude, the first Twilight's not the worst movie, but after and that, like, they are the worst movies.
And that's Blade 2 for me. Like, Blade 2 is like Hold really on, good, but Blade 3 is like Trinity, woof.
There are people Blade screaming at the radio right
let's
now.
Let's see how screaming. I'm going to go. Let's see. I don't think I have.
Twilight gets a 10-point bump just for the memes.
Hmm. Twilight. Great meme movie. The Underworld series, which I think Blade. Is underappreciated.
So here we go. We're going to do.
I watched those on FX a million times.
MovieRankings.net. We're going to do Twilight and Blade. Let's see where we. You think they're even?
I think they're closer than people would expect, at least. I don't know where my actual scores would line up, but I feel like they're closer than people would expect.
We on MovieRankings.net, we kind of bracket the.
Oh, yeah. Nosferatu.
Where is. Do I not have the Twilight universe in here? What the fuck?
We have Twilight, From Dusk Till Dawn, Quentin Banger.
Oh, here we go.
Interview with the Vampire.
I feel like I'm forgetting.
Underworld.
One.
I like Underworld a lot. Like way
so
more.
So here we go. Here's our Twilight scores combined. 32, 22, 21, 15, 12.
All right.
That's bad.
That's like half.
That's.
I think Blade's going to be higher than that.
Yeah, I do think Blade is going to come out on top of this one. That's bad. 75, 59, 13. Blade Trinity's pushing it. Blade Trinity shows up to the party.
Yeah.
And Blade 2 are bummed out.
Yep.
Like, you've fucked this up for us. Yeah, I Bram Stoker in terms of like general probably number one.
What about I Am Legend? Because remember they weren't zombies, they were vampires.
Zombies.
They were vampires.
I don't like that comment, so I'm gonna ignore it.
I don't like the twist that they ended up being vampires.
Yeah, that does bother me. From Dusk Till Dawn. Some other ones, The Hunger, a lot of older ones, Nosferatu.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I don't like Nosferatu.
That's one of you gotta,
I just like what he looks like.
You like the SpongeBob reference?
The SpongeBob reference is very funny.
That is very true. The SpongeBob reference is maybe the best. I just don't like. I don't like how he looks. You're right.
I love Interview with a Vampire. I think that's going to be high if we were to do a tier.
Interview with a Vampire is probably up there as well. You are probably right.
That is one where, and again, I always reference this to Collateral, like Tom Cruise should play villains. He is so good at villains. I forget his name in that one. Some French bullshit, but it's so good. Fuck. List something.
Okay, Interview with a Vampire is definitely up there.
Antonio Banderas in that movie, Beast.
I might put Interview with a Vampire above. I bet I have it a point or two higher than Bram Stoker.
Lestat, that was it. Shit.
I can't stop looking at Nosferatu. Nosferatu looks like he would. Nosferatu and Betty Boop should fuck. Mm-hmm.
He kind of looks like Steve Carell live action Gru. Mm-hmm.
He does. He does.
Why the fuck do I have Blade? We're the first one rated so much higher than Blade 2. I definitely would have Blade 2 higher. I got to redo that. I'm going to have to do a
which,
dive.
Which one's the one with the nightclub blood sprinklers?
It was holy water sprinklers. That's what burned everybody.
Didn't they have blood sprinklers too in the club?
I thought it was just the holy water for some reason. Because I thought like he goes into the club and like that's like a vampire club. And he sets off all the sprinklers and it burns them all with holy water. And then he walks through.
Imagine all burning. Imagine like somebody like you meet a. You should do this. You should go back, get back on Tinder, Gooch.
No.
Go find someone who doesn't like movies. Go to Hinge, whatever. Find someone who's like, hey, I'm looking for someone to teach me about movies. And start them out with Nosferatu. Oh. Okay, let's start right in 1922.
Nosferatu.
You're going to love cinema. Trust me. Start here.
Van Helsing's got to be up there. Hugh Jackman banger.
Let's start with The Seventh Steel. Ingrid Bergman. We're going to start from the start.
Daybreakers. That's the one with Ethan Hunt, right?
I feel like these lists are missing a movie. I don't know. I feel there's more vampire movies.
They're only picking the good ones. They're not picking the ones that are bad and lovable like Van Helsing. And like, or like in between ones even, like 30 Days a Night or Daybreakers.
If I had to say favorite, man, I I do really enjoy From Dusk Till Dawn. I probably would What We Do in the Shadows be number one.
I think it's What We Do in the Shadows.
Yeah.
I would say favorite after that, probably From Dusk Till Dawn.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a fun, really fun movie on HBO Max. After that, I'd probably say Interview with a Vampire.
Yeah. Great ass movie, man.
I do like the OG Blade too. Man, I hope the new Blade is really good.
What about the Hotel Transylvania movies? Adam Sandler plays a vampire.
That is true. It technically counts.
He's literally Dracula in the movie.
What about 30 Days of Night with Josh Hartnett?
That's what I was saying before.
Yeah.
That one and Daybreakers, I think both have to be on considered at least. They're not like amazing movies, but they should be up there. And Van Helsing as well. What's his name? That dude who played Faramir.
Did you guys ever watch True Blood?
No.
Trill
Bones was a big True Blood guy.
Caveat, though.
He's the horniest man alive.
Watch it because it would air before or after Last Week Tonight or around there.
Okay.
When Last Week Tonight first aired and everyone was watching it. And then that's around when Leftovers debuted. Okay. And I did watch Leftovers the entire first season. And I know True Blood was right around there. And that was also – that's back when I was working in my Major League Baseball job. And you could work from home on Sundays. Ooh. And the games ended early. So then I would flip on HBO. And I would watch True Blood. Had no idea what was happening. Mm-hmm. Just because it was the last season too. Oh, geez. So I had no context. I just know there were – who was it? It was –
Anna Paquin.
It wasn't Anna Paquin's character I'm talking about, though. It was Anna Camp's character. Had like sometimes she had brown hair, sometimes she had blonde hair. Anna Paquin played Sookie Stackhouse, which is a good name. That's a very good name. But I had no idea what was going on.
More like Sucky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's a vampire.
HBO, they could have said that.
I remember I tried watching the first episode once, and there was just like a BDSM scene. And I was like, you know what? I don't think I'm going to watch this.
Not ready
there's,
for
there's
it.
Just, there's, sometimes there's things that you watch – and you just say, I'm not the target audience here.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't for me. But now, like, I did contemplate going back and watching it. Like, I've seen every one of the final episodes. It's like, maybe I should go back and watch it. But
what do you think the True Blood Reddit's up to?
Oh, they're definitely – I would bet that being the most active subreddit for a canceled or dead show that's ever existed.
That thing is how many
only
people? 20,
only 24,000 members.
Only 17 online right now.
That's crazy. I would expect way more.
They don't even have a logo, like an icon.
I posted some guy before. He posted in the Burn Notice Reddit, and he's like, "Am I too late for Burn Notice?" Like, you think?
Yeah, I love that you're a mod on the Burn Notice Reddit.
last post was 3 hours ago. How many times have you watched the series?
What are the answers?
It looks like two is the least amount of times. Mostly between 5 to 6.
Jesus Christ.
I never watched the last episode, though. I just start over. I'll be honest, I've never seen the last episode of The West Wing. I'll never watch it. It means I don't want to close that chapter. Also, it wasn't Sorkin back then, so how good could it have been?
I don't know what this post is, but it's just like Bill Bompton.
That's kind of that rock.
I don't know the reference at all, but...
I immediately
laugh
at it no matter what.
I'm so lost on this page.
I'm posting it.
That's right. What's his face's character? I did know that character. I recognize that one. Alexander Skarsgård's character.
Yeah. Eric.
I do recognize that character.
It was a hot ass show. Sexually speaking, that is.
Very attractive show.
Mm-hmm.
Incredibly.
Maybe one of the sexiest casts ever put together.
Yeah. Evan Rachel Wood also went a shout out to Westworld, which had a season finale last night.
I'm going to start watching it.
I've
heard it's great.
I've been told that it is a solid season.
Yeah.
But that's just not – it's not enough to get me to – like that's how you know I was – and I liked this last season of Westworld more than you and Fights did. And we used to do our breakdowns with our coworker, John Feidelberg. I liked the season more than you guys.
Yeah.
And then I was right along with you guys after the finale. That's how much I hated the finale of that show. So that's how you really – I don't know. I don't know what you could do to get me to watch this show.
It's got to be real good. Well, this is what I'll say, though, is that all the responses to it so far have been extremely positive, which makes me want to try it. Just to get the bad taste
Westworld?
Of the last season out.
We're talking about Westworld?
Westworld.
I still haven't watched the season
three.
Two. I got like three episodes into season two, and I was like, damn, this isn't good. And just
big
gave up.
Fall off. Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to get to it soon, I think.
Season one was great. Also, apparently Aaron Paul was great this season. Tessa Thompson was great. They knew what to do with the characters a lot more.
God, that's insane. I always forget that Tessa Thompson's just in that show.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to like it last year. I thought I liked what they were doing, and then, man, I
nope. This is the last season, right? I hope so.
Nope. No, there's one more, because I saw a couple tweets. Jesus. Wow, that really goes into season five really well.
God damn it.
Yeah. That's it. Next week, we're going to do Bodies, Bodies, Bodies. We just had it.
Timing-wise.
Timing.
It's so good.
I fucking loved it.
Dude, I really love that movie. I might go see it again.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk about it. I thoroughly enjoyed Bodies, Bodies, Bodies. Mm-hmm. Other movies coming out, though, in the next few weeks. August is typically a bit of a dead period. Releases are weird.
Yeah.
You kind of gear up for Labor Day. That's typically when things will start to pick up again. But the next stuff coming out, you have Beast with Idris Elba.
Yeah, I heard some pretty good things about that.
Yeah.
Dragon Ball Super.
Yep.
Yep, you have.
We'll be reviewing that.
You guys did Broly, didn't you?
I did Broly, yeah.
Okay, I thought so, yeah.
Not a ton of things end of the month. And then nothing really, I'm not calling it huge and saying it's going to be good, but nothing that has major note probably until September 8th, Pinocchio.
Hell yeah. Which one?
Which one, yeah. Wait, and it's not the GDT
with Tom
one.
Hanks. Yeah. With Tom Hanks.
I can't wait for that to be yes.
Followed by...
It's-a-me.
Again, not a ton of... See how they
3,000 Years of Longing is at the end of the month.
Oh, yeah. That's the
George Miller movie.
Okay, yeah.
That'll be really good.
I forgot that George Miller just had a movie coming out.
It's another Idris Elba one.
Idris Elba, Tilda Swinton. So that's up there for us. See How They Run, the movie that looks like a Wes Anderson movie but isn't, with Saoirse Ronan, Sam Rockwell, Adrian Brody, all of them. David Oyelowo. Don't Worry, Darling, though, on September 23rd. Probably the first one I have like big circled for the month of September. Followed by Hocus Pocus 2, which fuck off.
Yep, get the fuck out of here. With that.
Really?
No, thank you.
I just really don't think I'm gonna like that movie. I'm not a Hocus Pocus person.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck is this?
I can't wait for Halloween ends.
Yeah, it does need to end.
I can't wait to see what they do.
Terrible title.
It's not going to end. He is going to be alive at the end of that movie.
Biggest goddamn
guarantee. Line. Guarantee right now. That's it. For Ken Jack, Gooch, and Jeff D. Lowe, we will talk to you. Also, we probably will talk. We will do reviews of. I almost said House of Cards, House of the Dragon. House of Dragons?
House of the Dragon.
House of the Dragon.
House of the Dragon.
Game of Thrones, and we will do Amazon.
Dragon
Amazon's
nuts.
Lord of the Rings.
The Rings
and we'll
of
talk,
Power.
We will talk Andor as well.
Yeah.
We'll talk She-Hulk, but I think those shows are a little longer and more prestige-y. Andor has that feel.
Yeah.
I don't think She-Hulk's going to need a weekly breakdown.
I don't know. I'm not going to dump on She-Hulk until I watch it.
Man,
I'm not going to do it.
Every time I see it.
I will not do it. That's it. For Gucci and Jack, I'm Jeff.
Have a good week at the box office, folks.